Wake up, gamers, because you're listening to the Big Think Dimension with Dan and Bob Video Games.
Bob, we've got a job.
Good.
KZ Excellent.
Catchphrase.
And Mr. Feel.
Bro, I told you you couldn't handle that they-them neutral.
Here on Gigaboots,
Bob and I have ascended.
Oh.
No.
That's. Are you glad you did?
No. I mean, of course, actually. Because no one could have said, Dan, God of War Ascension is the single video game with the most combat elevators of any game of all time, and I would have believed them.
No, it'd be Godfall?
Oh, yeah.
Yo!
I'm still not sure I believe you haven't played every 7th-gen game yet.
You will, by the end of the year.
Here we go. Yeah, this was staggering. God of War Ascension starts with the detriment that is you are tasked with telling a story that can't mean anything. Because it's a prequel, and we already had enough, like, past stuff in the God of War franchise.
Yeah, we played all 3 prequels this week.
Well, one of them wasn't a prequel.
It was an interquel.
Yes.
It was really quite something going through those. I want to start with Ascension just to get that out of the way for the people who are like, what's in the box?
Dan?
Yeah.
Is it worse than God of War 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does it only have 3 bosses and one of them takes 45 minutes?
I don't know how many bosses it had. It didn't have a ton. I feel like compared to 2, it had jack shit.
This is what I was in suspense about last week, where you're like, I'm worried. People keep comparing them.
I know.
Instead of the boss taking 45 minutes, it's these awful designed combat elevators that are completely unbalanced and taking 50-plus minutes.
You guys got to understand, this is not, they're calling a boat a combat elevator. No, it's like, here's a slow disc. You stand on a button and fight enemies as the disc rotates and goes up a shaft.
Yeah, that would in fact be an elevator.
The climax of this video game, I shit you not, the climax of this video game is an elevator that keeps going up, but then it keeps getting stuck, and you have to use magic to reveal the illusion that is the same lever getting bashed in over and over. Like, a little latch magically is being illusioned away by the Furies, and you have to use the magic to remove their illusion that is, yeah, that thing's still there and keeps getting stuck in. This is the hardest part of this video game. It is 3 different combat floors of this elevator. There are no checkpoints. And originally, at the launch version, which we updated it, thank Christ, it didn't heal you at all between any of them. Some of these enemies stone you, and others shoot lightning bolts that are insanely fast. So you can get one hit killed instantly at any moment in this gigantic combat elevator sequence. I totally understand people saying it's worse than 1 now.
There's already even 2 more than 1 weapon. You just have the blades, and yeah, you get different elements for them, but that's not enough.
Yeah, the elements don't seem to type match at all. The elements have special moves you have to pay tons of orbs to unlock, so your moveset's always lacking, right?
Yeah, they hide every magic spell behind the max level of those upgrades.
Oh, boo!
So it's like you went through most of the game as 1 magic spell because we didn't want to waste money getting something that might be bad.
Right, because you keep in mind, you got to keep dumping your red orbs into your normal Blades of Chaos so you have damage, which is important in a game that's primarily concerned with really bad 7th-gen core puzzles and combat elders. So let's talk about the puzzles, Bob.
There's more puzzles in this game than every other God of War combined.
Ooh, it makes you think, huh?
And they're all bad.
There are only like a couple in the game that I'm like, okay, those are kind of neat. Like, they're fine. They're not amazing. They're fine. And then the rest of them are time shift.
Oh, no.
Where you literally have a special item that lets you rewind and fast forward time to find the correct spot of decay to make this thing form a shape that will allow you to do this other thing to then shove it into this other shape in order to complete the puzzle.
Dan?
Uh-huh?
Did you play Blinks?
I wish. I don't think you do from what I saw.
It was dire. The beginning of the game starts in media res for you fighting the Furies and being at this place. No shit, that game ends in game time an hour later. So you spend the entire rest of the game in the past from that moment.
I hate that.
You start 3 weeks ago, And then after 4 hours of that, you come back to the modern timeline, and I look at Bob and I go, I swear to God, I'm going to scream if it puts up 2 weeks ago after this. We play 20 minutes and then it goes 2 weeks ago.
I was out here when you made the threat.
Terrible, horrible. One of the worst, most gut-wrenching moments on a stream anytime recently was it popping out with 2 weeks ago. I'm like, come on.
They even have you fight villains you see that are clearly alive.
In the future.
In the future.
Almost all of it is that.
It's like, what are you doing? I know it's going to happen.
And then it's like, you need to get this item. And I'm like, I know they're going to take it from me immediately because they have it in the future.
Yep.
Oh, man, this sucks ass. What are they doing?
It's genuinely terrible. It's weird because they have, what was it, Bob? We did a count, 6 God of War games to pull from before this? 5?
5, I think, because 1 through 3 in the 2 PSP ones.
You count the phone game, that's 6.
I don't think they're taking anything from the phone game, Dan. I'm sorry.
That phone game's pretty good.
Better than God of War 1.
That's not the highest bar.
Well, some things apparently can't even reach that plateau.
It's really dreadful that this is how this game went. You want to feel like there was an epic through line, but genuinely speaking, most of this game was the dumbest shit in the world. Bob, do you have anything else to say?
I didn't expect this to be far and away the worst God of War game. Also, it does things that make no sense. In a lot of the game, you're just running around doing puzzles and not having any story delivered, so you have no idea what Kratos is doing or thinking.
You know that he has to get the eye.
Right, you know that he has to get the eye, and that's it. And then you're playing this gigantic level where you climb to the top of the statue. And at the top of the statue, he reverses time and rebuilds it to then go into the lantern it was holding, and it's like, what?
It's like,
why would I think that that's what he was trying to accomplish until now?
Two different layers of this, okay? One, you rebuild it with the time power something like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Just slowly rebuilding this, what was it, the Colossus of Rhodes or something? I don't remember.
No, it was not two. A statue of
Archimedes statue, yeah. I think Archimedes built it.
Apollo, I believe.
Yes, that's correct. So you rebuild the statue slowly, and the final step is to raise the lantern it was holding, that is effectively a box, up out of the ocean, which is where you started, into its hand so you could get the item it had inside of there.
It's like super in the game, you got the ability to breathe underwater infinitely and swim infinitely. So it's like, why didn't Kratos just go swim there?
It's really frustrating because what we just described is about 5 hours of this video game.
Oh,
it's almost no plot happening or unfolding.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. And
for a linear action game,
it's real bizarre. It's real bizarre. It was something in 4 or 5 hours, and I think the most important plot thing that happens is the Furies realize that the other child is helping you, the one played by Troy Baker.
Yes.
Oh.
They're like, oh, you're helping him. Hey, how dare you? Ugh. And then he's like, oh, I should have done this long ago. And then he teleports you, I shit you not, 30 feet away, and they can't find you.
Oh, come on.
He moved you up 2 floors and onto the inside of a balcony, basically.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, that happened, I kept looking at the environment like, why are we in the same place? That can't be right.
Clearly, we've got across the country.
So that there are 2.5 hours left after that in the statue where nothing happens.
Yes.
We're going to get into some heavy actual spoilers for this game because I don't think any human should actually play this. But if you care, skip ahead like 1 minute. The ending of this game is them having one of the Furies transform into like a Hydra from God of War 1 in a giant battle that's set up as a set piece identically to the background and set design in Ghost of Sparta. As you fight their version of this Hydra from 1, and it's like, oh, this is crazy. Like, is this going to rewrite this to literally be the beginning of God of War 1? Because that's a funny rewrite, right?
Right.
For it to be like, that wasn't just any Hydra. That was this Fury. That was the Queen of Furies. God of War. Kratos just didn't feel like talking about how he knew. And I would have actually thought that was very funny. It would have been okay with it. Then it's all an illusion. Suddenly illusion drops and you're just standing in a room.
And this is after you have the device that lets you see through their illusions.
Yeah.
So it's just really lame.
The critical plot moment of this game is Kratos finds out, like, he has his oath to Ares removed, which removes the brainwashing, evidently, and makes him realize he killed his wife and kid. This is the moment he realized that. So the conclusion of the game is a really heart-wrenching moment where you murder Troy Baker to remove the oath, because they shoved the oath gem into his chest before they died.
Yeah, the whole weird oath thing they made up for this game is just weird and not good.
It's weird and not good. That concept isn't a bad one.
No.
It's handled terribly here, and it's retroactively shoved into the story in a way that's like, oh boy.
Yeah, how did we not hear about this oath ever before and all sorts of things? And the idea that, wait, so Ares could suppress the memories?
Yeah.
And the other gods just can't, or they won't?
Or they won't. Who knows? I guess it doesn't matter.
I guess not.
Whatever, they're all dead.
Well, they wouldn't be if they suppressed his memories,
right? I think it's also worth bringing up how this game has, above all other games from God of War, a huge tendency to have camera movement and other things take importance over gameplay.
Yes.
Like, they'll do cool, epic panning shots, and it's like, I still have to play this game, which is not easy.
It's like, it's
from an angle that I can't see anything.
Like, let me explain as a parallel, because some people have played other God of Wars are like, yeah, I did that. No, let me explain. God of War 2, it pulls the camera out really wide so you can see yourself run across this giant chain and this bridge and this cool stuff. And it's like, oh man, what a cool shot. God of War Ascension's like, you're being mugged by six guys. I will now, in 720p, make you half an inch tall.
Also, the camera will shake every time you hit.
Yeah, this is the only God of War game this month where we had multiple people in chat being like, this is making us nauseous.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the combat shaking is really cranked up in this one. But yeah, one last thing, because we didn't really cover it, I don't think. I should have been more clear. It has more puzzles than any other God of War, and it's time puzzles, which are kind of bad to begin with. But this is also arbitrary solution time puzzles, where it's like, during this puzzle, you can't pause it at any given moment. And in this one, you can. And in this one...
In this one, I'm not playing anymore.
Yeah.
And if you can't figure out what object to hit with the time item to manipulate time, you have to wait for the cooldown. And it's a multi-second cooldown. You're just sitting there waiting. You're like, sorry, I thought this was the thing. And the worst part is, it's going to affect 12 billion things around you, but there's the one piece of rubble you have to aim it at. There's no context clues. There's no lighting. There's no nothing. You need to know.
Yeah.
So I was skeptical of chat. You know, I don't, when people want to warn me, oh, this is the best, this is the worst. You know, I'm like, we'll see when we get there, right? We never know. No, they were pretty on with this.
The three people that have lived to tell the tale of this game.
Yeah.
They wouldn't forget.
And now 300 people know, and they'll tell 300 people.
And next thing you know, this will have a reputation of being good?
No.
Weird. It kind of warped on the way.
It's insane. It's insane that it's like, we had 5 God of War games before this for you to pull for reference. This is the 6th God of War game, and somehow you messed it up the most. It's insane. Because we constantly grade God of War 1 on a curve, right?
Right.
Where it's like Western Action Studio, making a new IP, making an action game, PS2 gen. There's all sorts of, like, you know, it wasn't established, the norms of the action game genre, necessarily. Like, you had Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry to pull from.
Right.
But you didn't have this long history.
Yeah, you didn't have personal experience making them at all.
Right. So it's insane to be like, yeah, when everyone talks about it, who's played both, they group God of War 1 and Ascension, the second PS3 game, together as the two that are just, yeah, these two scum it up. That's nuts. I never would have guessed that before this month.
Yeah.
So halfway through this game, I was like, Bob, do you think Judgment's better or worse than this? And he's like, yeah, it's probably worse. And then we finished the game and I'm like, so Bob, do you think Judgment's better or worse than this? And we're both like, better.
I hope you're right.
Gears of War Judgment cannot... Oh, by the way, we hit that stretch goal, so we're doing a Gears of War month at some point.
Oh, no!
There's like no way Judgment's worse than this. How could that even be possible?
Like, it could have even less content, Dan. It could have like one hallway that goes on for 4 hours.
At least it would only be 4 hours instead of what, 9 or whatever we're talking about.
No, that's one section of the game, Bob. It has two levels. They're each 4 hours.
Oh no.
Baird got really into time puzzles.
yeah, but like there's no way that it has so many like awful trope puzzles that this does.
Yeah, this was the
this Gears of War is a thinker.
What was the other awful puzzle tool we got? There's like, yeah, this is a 7th gen thing. I guess there was
create the clone Kratos to hold the thing you're holding.
And then before we got the ability to just move time on our own, we had to deal with the time gas.
We didn't even talk about the time gas. So there's time gas in this game, and I know what you're thinking. Okay, so he'll be hit by a jet stream of it. Now, sometimes it's just a cloud of time gas hanging out in the room, and you need to dunk Kratos' head into it by jumping into it, and then it makes the entire room transform like it's the Legacy of Kain Soul Reaver games.
I have no point of reference here.
The entire environment just transforms to be a demented version of itself.
Oh, okay.
It makes no sense. It's so bad.
It's seeing the future, but that's stupid.
Yeah, they keep trying to phrase it as a seeing the future, but it's like, it doesn't...
But then you interact with things. And
yeah, the time gas was really awful. And then they went, now that's an item. And we're like, no.
Please.
We wanted this whole mechanic to go away.
I almost lost it when I was like, here's your new ability. It now lets you open those chests you saw all throughout the game that you couldn't open, meaning you're going back to every single area.
Yes.
Yeah, luckily we didn't go back to every single area, but we did retrace about 2 hours of the game at that point or something, an hour and a half.
Oh,
good. It felt like basically everything we had already done. It really did.
Yeah, there was small bits we couldn't redo, but yeah. It's like, okay, now run back down the snake elevator.
Right.
I'm like, oh, this is less cool. Why have you done this? But yeah, apparently that elevator sequence where it just has 3 combat rooms in a row that are insane and didn't heal in between, they patched it later to heal because multiple reviews at launch complained about how insane the difficulty spike was there, which makes sense.
Yeah, even the heals, they weren't like, oh, full health. No.
No, it's like a fifth of a health bar.
Yeah, it's like, here's a treat.
Ooh!
It just appears, too. You don't have... There's no visual effect for it, even. It just, your health jumps up.
And there's no mechanic of, like, I'm gonna not pick that up now so I can pick it up later.
No,
it's just...
No, this is a patch thing. That they just drop the asset in on a timer.
Yeah. No, it stealth upgraded our health. In fact, it did it so stealthily that we weren't sure that it did it. We were like, did that heal us? It was so little, and I feel like I'm just making it up. So it wasn't until we did it again that we went, yeah, that's healing us, but barely at all. How insane.
Lords of Shadow energy, honestly.
Oh, yeah, this game has big Lords of Shadow energy.
Yes. Oh, wait, when did Lords of Shadow...
It would have come out around the same time as God of War 3.
Do you think they were like, well, everybody really liked Lords of Shadow, we should make this last prequel more like that?
Maybe this director did.
We should make more the prequel more like the thing that ripped us off.
Yeah, it's a very
and was terrible.
It's okay, they borrowed from us, let's borrow from them. Didn't think about what that would mean.
Oh no.
That's the interesting thing. People were like, you know, the God of War games, you know them for the fact that The directors often go on to do other things, right? So it's like Stigis Musin, he's making Jedi Fallen Order. Corey Barlog went to do other things and then God of War 2018. And now other things, who knows? You want to know what the director the director of Ascension went on to do?
What's that, Dan?
Working at on Star Citizen.
Oh, no.
Woo! No. No.
Infinity War.
No, the, like you might as well have just said, yeah, he got real big into NFTs.
Oh man. So yeah, anyway, that's that's God of War Ascension.
Way to find a good way to cap that.
When people told us we made the same sounds feel dead.
Wow.
Like, oh man. That's only one step better than went to Facebook. But yeah, God of War Ascension.
No.
No, you don't think?
Star Citizen is the bottom.
You think?
You cannot go lower than Star Citizen.
Hmm.
Star Citizen is blatantly a scam and is literally just stealing. It's like, yeah, it's been 15 years and we've taken $500 million of crowdfunding. We've produced nothing.
That's not true. There are playable betas that don't hook into each other and maybe a single player thing that will ship before the heat death of the universe.
I can buy a ship for $250,000.
For a quarter of a million dollars. It's not even a real fake ship because it hasn't been implemented yet.
Yeah, but
someday
one day
they will implement it.
They will. They'll have my money now.
That's God of War Ascension.
Cool.
I want to be positive, though. Let's talk about the PSP ones.
Sure.
I'm going to say of the two PSP ones, Chains of Olympus, very, very cool. I enjoyed that. I thought it was neat. That is the one where Kratos gets Magician's Red, right?
Yes, he has Magician's Red. We have Morpheus.
There's a lot of cool stuff going on in Chains of Olympus. It feels like exactly what you would do with a spinoff title where it's slightly different in these weird ways that make it interesting and unique. And it's like, ah, yes, I see how they probably wouldn't do these with the mainline entries. This is really cool. Then you get to Ghost of Sparta. Well, Ghost of Sparta still has magic and you can cast like heat-seeking lightning balls.
Yes.
As spells. And I'm like, see, this is what Kratos needed. He needed this bow. Like, we need him to be able to do
this bow.
That was me in every encounter for the end of that game. I'm just like, spam the Dismal and then spin.
Chains of Olympus also had the giant fist weapon where it's just one gauntlet,
which
is great.
That was actually really awesome because they balanced the damage around it properly.
Yeah, like, so you just wreck things.
And it's a Thanos glove.
Yeah.
Here comes the giant fist.
This is the best part. It's just like, it literally looks like Thanos' gauntlet. And it does insane damage, and he only gets one.
There's basically one combo, and then you can charge every move, but that's all you need sometimes.
Yeah, no, it really did it. And it was great, because when you look at it, right, that means Ready at Dawn made Daxter, and then made this. And it's like, they're doing so well.
We made the Order 1886.
Oh, don't worry. They also made Ghost of Sparta. So, Ghost of Sparta.
That's not that big a step down.
I'm just, I think Ghost of Sparta is a significant step down from Chains of Olympus from a story angle and a number of other ways. Like, I'm trying to remember exactly what was so frustrating about combat.
They have some of those DMC to DMC enemies of, oh, you can't hit them.
Oh, yeah. Let me explain, KZ. You didn't get to see any of this,
yeah,
I don't think.
I did not.
Okay. So in this game, in Ghost of Sparta, you can hold R to charge your Blades of Chaos with fire. This is important because any enemy with armor can't be hit unless you're doing that. And doing that burns through a meter insanely fast, and then you have to wait for it to charge back up to be able to hit them. You have to hit them enough to knock off all the armor to be able to hit them normally.
Oh.
So about
that,
how...
That sound pretty bad.
Yeah, it's like, they made something pretty similar to Chains of Olympus, but then made enough changes in enough places where I'm like, you just made a worse one. Good job.
Yeah, you also, you don't have nearly as cool locations, too.
Right.
I wish that spear weapon was in a better God of War game, because it's real cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also wish it was stronger in that game.
Yeah, I watched one bit of your stream, and I couldn't tell which one you were on, but it was where Kratos was like, Persian, and then crushes the dude with a box.
That was Chains.
That was Chains. That was the opening of Chains before it went completely insane.
Okay. Well, I thought that was delightful, and the game at least became an 8 based on me watching one cutscene.
Yeah, you crush that dude, and then you steal Magician's Red from him. So it was pretty awesome, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought the Persians would be more involved with Chains, but it was really just, that opening was about the Persian invasion. And
we dealt with it.
You owned it.
It was handled.
And then we moved on to Morpheus. Which just made me think of the Morpheus rap. but not a fan of Ghost of Sparta. Would not play that again. Also, there's tons of bad story stuff. I don't even want to.
There's one amazing story thing in Chains. But at the very end of the game, I don't know if we want to spoil it.
It'll be fine. Yet again, if you care about Chains of Olympus, the PSP God of War game from a billion years ago, skip ahead a little. Go ahead, Bob.
There's a cutscene that's interactive. Where Kratos has to push his daughter away from him.
You have to mash circle to push your daughter away from you to leave her in Elysium.
Yeah.
Let's fucking go.
It's the funniest shit in the world.
Maybe the funniest thing in the God of War franchise.
It is. Yes. Everyone's losing it at that point. We're like, this is hilarious. How smart. What an amazing game. Yeah, so the way I see it, and Daxter and Chains of Olympus are like top tier. And if that studio had kept making that stuff, they would still be around.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate that the order happened, but it sounds like everyone wanted to do it there, which is so sad.
Yeah. They were all really in love with this boring, 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 boring toast sandwich.
That's a lot of pieces of bread.
So in God of War 2018, we go to, Helheim, right? The afterlife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fuck. So there's actually different afterlives for these pantheons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Kratos went to a different country and now you go somewhere else when you die.
Yeah, they got jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's how that works. If you die in Gotham, you go to Gotham Hell.
Yeah, no.
I don't want to go to Gotham Hell. The Joker's there.
At least a couple Jokers are there. Yeah, it's he went to hell a lot in this series.
Basically every entry, yeah.
I think there's one where he didn't. I think it's Ascension.
Yeah, I guess he didn't Ascension.
Man, that just goes to show how much that one sucks.
Well, he didn't have any powers yet. It was still before one.
The gameplay is hell.
That didn't stop them in Chains.
No, that didn't. Man.
They also, Ghost, they go to Super Hell?
What?
Yeah.
It's really weird.
It's so weird. The end of that game is so weird and hilarious and too forced.
You see KZ. Okay, you can tell because I've also played it.
Remember. Okay. Well, I was gonna say people tell me Ghost of Sparta is about his brother. That's inaccurate. The last hour of that game is about his brother and the rest isn't.
Oh.
But anyways, go ahead, Phil, you were going to
You see KZ, the antagonist of that game is Thanatos, the god of death.
Okay.
And they're like, Thanatos isn't a Greek god. He was like, existed before the Greek gods and it's like some spooky super god. So you have to go to Death's Domain, which is like double hell.
Yeah, it's a completely different place from Hades. Well,
I also think it's really funny that in like your reward, and the reason they did fucking Ghost of Sparta is because the reward for beating all the super hard challenge content, which is a fucking nightmare, by the way.
I'm sure.
God of War 1
mm-hmm.
is like this thing where they're like, Kratos had a brother who was trapped in Hades and hated Kratos. And they're like, I guess we better fucking do something with that.
Yeah.
And it was like, but it's like, like they show him like burning with rage and having demon wings in God of War 1. Because they just show like, I guess concept art with like a Diablo fire gift behind him.
Yeah.
Yo.
But then it's nothing like that at all in Ghost of Sparta. It's like not even remotely the same thing.
So I guess I should clarify, more than an hour of that game is about your brother, but it's the same flashback over and over and basically nothing ever changes of, hey, people who are clearly Athena and Ares come to take your brother.
I liked my headcanon I was building. I wish that was real. Thanatos, when you see his statue, looks kind of like Ares. I was really hoping to find out, he was actually Ares and not living down here.
A twist like that would have been absolutely hilarious.
Yes.
That would have been just
like, is this so spin off needed to kill Super Ares, who's still alive?
He's teamed up with Thanatos because he is Thanatos.
It's like the return of Jafar.
Yeah, basically.
Oh, man.
Anyway, anything else to say before we move on?
No.
Okay, cool. I have super positive news.
What's up?
At the advice of a viewer of the channel, I have a soft mod on my 3DS. There is some really cool stuff you can do with that. One of the easiest things, if you get the Luma 3DS mod, which there are pretty good instructions for online. Don't ask me. Don't ask me. don't ask me.
Don't ask me.
is
he'll block you.
You on the main menu of the 3DS, you can now hit L down and select, and it brings up a sub menu of the Luma 3DS custom firmware. And in there, you can start a protocol called direction or input redirection. And then it'll tell you the IP address of the 3DS, and you can get off GitHub this input redirection client to just plug in any X input controller to your PC, and it'll control the 3DS. Everyone knows I am extremely sensitive to input latency. This works amazingly. Like, it is stellar. Oh, my God. I wish I'd done this years ago. I now look back in despair on our Samus Returns playthrough and go, that could have been on an Xbox One controller.
That's at least 10% better than a 3DS.
It is so much more than 10%. I've been playing Pilotwings Resort. Yeah. I've been playing Star Fox 64. It is responsive. It feels great. It's a full fucking controller. This is awesome. This is amazing. I do not need a hardware mod for a controller anymore. And I even tested it while KZ was streaming. It still worked perfectly fine. So network congestion, at least on our setup, couldn't even stop it from feeling responsive.
Yeah, that is especially great because I'm like, I stream at a decent quality.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, like, that's the thing. How much use is it going to be to me if it just stops working when I stream?
Yeah, yeah. So it's good to see that it doesn't... It doesn't fall out like when you were playing something on PS Now.
Yeah.
And then you started to download, and then it just added a full second of additional latency. It was really funny.
It was nuts. It was immediate.
I would, like, turn the stick while looking away, and then I'd look back at the TV, and I beat it there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was dire. This is super fantastic. Like, absolutely amazing mod. Unfortunately, when it boots into DS games, it boots into a DS mode. So you can't use the input redirection for that. But
that's very sad.
It is very sad, but I expected as much. And frankly, like, I feel blessed already because this means third gen remakes, sixth gen, and seventh gen all get to use this setup.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It rules.
That's really solid.
That absolutely rules. I'm now sitting here and I'm like, this is such a great way to stream now, which is the opposite of how I felt about it before this mod.
Oh, yeah, it was. You were like, this is the worst. I hate this.
It was like, oh, Metroid Month is going to involve a 3DS game. That sucks.
Right. It was a nightmare.
But it's so good now and so comfortable and easy to use. I'm like, we need to take advantage of this, Bob. We need to do a theme up for something on the 3DS. And Bob's like, Luigi's Mansion Month.
Come on. Yeah. Why couldn't it be like Mario and Luigi?
Nope, sorry.
Because those are all on there now almost.
We have to play with this. It's probably a really mediocre game series all the way through.
Yeah, I need to play through a game that looked amazing on the GameCube in 2001 that I have no desire to revisit. A game on the 3DS that I did not think was a very good game when I bought it at launch, and it was way, way, way too long with really bad puzzles. And a Switch game that I've owned for a year and a half and still haven't done a given games a chance for.
Hey, that game must be good. It sold 15 million copies.
I hope it's really great. Because, yeah, apparently it sold 15 million copies or something.
I played 3 hours and was like, this is fine. And then I stopped.
Oh, no. Is it Luigi Mansion 2 again?
Yeah, that's the thing. I felt pretty good about Luigi's Mansion 2 for about the first 4 hours.
Now, you see, it's sometimes Nintendo will put out a game that I'm like, this is solid, but I don't need to, like, go back ever again. Not to say it's, like, bad, but it's just, like, it kind of falls out of me.
Mm-hmm.
I did that with the Yoshi game that came out on Switch.
You got
that. That was another game I played 3 hours of. I was like, this is fine, and then stopped.
Yeah, I played 4 hours and went, I'm having a good time with this. And then I guess I played something else and completely forgot. And that's where we're at.
That's what had happened with both of them. It wasn't like active, like, no, I don't think I'll go back to this. It's like, okay, a bigger game came out. No, I'm not going to go back. There's other bigger games coming out.
That's why I'm so cautious now. I'm like, I can't start Horizon yet. And now this has become a millstone around my neck that continues to get more weight applied to it.
I mean, here's the great thing, right? Mm-hmm. If you start Horizon now, there's so much content, you won't be able to buy Nintendo Switch Sports later this month.
No, you know, I can't go too crazy. The Lego Star Wars game comes out in less than a week.
Oh.
Comes out like,
oh, it does?
Yeah, it comes cool. out in the
That
4th.
Game that has 750 playable characters or some insane shit.
Yeah, they put out a statement of, you can't do customization in this one, but we have 300 characters you can play as, so we hope that it'll be okay.
Fucking Count Dooku has Final Fantasy 14 AOE markers.
But yeah, that's why I can't start Horizon now, because there's that. I'm even skittish about trying that Lost Judgment DLC that's out.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whole new playable character.
Ooh.
But yeah, I couldn't think of anything else to use the 3DS for now.
Yeah. Mega 10 year.
I feel like I can pick up Mario 3D Land, because I never did play that much.
Okay.
Like, that'd be interesting to go through, yeah.
Yeah, that would be, that seems like that would be the ideal game to play like that.
One, maybe not, because of some things in that game, and two, it'll be a good sleep aid.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you should play some Smash 3DS.
Nah.
See, the problem with, like, doing that with Mario 3D Land is it's one of those early 3DS games that was mad quirky and is like, you need the depth to know where to jump.
They did have a few puzzles like that, and it's like,
that's okay. We keep it on a pedestal next to us. That way we can look at the 3D
at the
at
perfect
moment.
Angle.
Yeah.
So that it's never going to be a problem.
I just remember the Mirror of Fate stream where Bob kept getting instantly immolated at the very end of the game because you have to, like, do a falling puzzle that's impossible without 3D.
Yes, the deck was impossible to figure out without that.
That stream was so cruel. Bob missed out on like 70% of the stream, and then it gets passed off, and it was like, how do you not know that the map lies to you?
That's another stream that would have been way better on this one.
Yeah, of course.
Jesus.
I'll better give it another chance.
No.
Not at all.
Only if Jim Ratgazer can come back and then lose it over the best boss fight in the entire series.
Oh, man. But that's it for me. Oh, I also got a, what was it? Monster Boy in the Cursed Kingdom. That's the Monster World game where they added 120 frames per second support for the PS5 and Series X version.
Oh, maybe I'll give it another chance.
Nah.
I'm glad you didn't buy it at full price.
That's what I'm here to tell you. Yeah, it went on sale for like $16.50 or something. I got it. Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's
you
up?
You saw the 120 frames per second mode. Would yeah. you say you were whelmed?
No.
I mean, yeah, it was 120, I guess. It was smooth looking. I don't know. It didn't seem to help it that much.
Did they, like, somehow interpolate their game?
No, it just, for some reason, it doesn't look impressive at 120.
I mean, it's not a fast-moving side-scrolling right. platformer.
Right.
So it's hard to even, like Sonic, super notice.
Yeah, Sonic would look amazing at 120, because it's fast, and there's so many parallax layers. This, you really don't move that fast, and you're not that big. And honestly, I don't love a lot of the art design in this. It's just the character designs and things like that don't look that great, and there aren't that many frames of animation. It's not like it's a Streets of Rage 4 or something over here, right? I don't like that game, is what I'm figuring out. I'm very lukewarm on it.
Oh, no.
I think GameSack, when they reviewed it on their channel in, what was it, Modern 2D Games That Are Good or something, a lot of what they say is accurate, where it's individual rooms feel less like rooms to be conquered in a platforming sense and more like a weird puzzle. And not like a puzzle game puzzle, not like a puzzling puzzle like you would expect God of War puzzle or 7th Gen game puzzle or some other puzzle, but just some weird, like, You enter a room and it becomes this thing of like, okay, what do I need to do to this room to get across in this action platformer game? It just feels weird. It's like if Mario became that, because like the other Monster Boy games are a lot more actiony. You do a lot more attacks. Also, the damage values are freaking insane. So the first monster, the first animal or whatever you turn into is a pig. I'm not exaggerating at all when I say your hit range is 2 inches. You hit to do the melee and you punch 2 inches in front of you. It's nuts. Your damage values are terrible. You have to hit even the most basic enemy about 5 times to kill them. But you can use these magical spells. Here's the problem, though. You need those spells to solve the room puzzles. So every moment is just, I have a spell that could kill you in one hit, but I can't use it because it might be necessary for this puzzle that is this room. So this is the least I've enjoyed a Monster World game. I'm going to go ahead and say I really don't recommend buying this, even at $16. I would say even the, what was it, Monster World 4, Ashen Monster Land or whatever?
Oh, yeah, that 3D remake.
Yeah, the 3D remake, definitely more recommended. Like, the 3D graphics look a little weird, should look a little better, but much more highly recommended than this. Yeah, that's all I got to say about that. It's very unfortunate because people who've been paying attention on Big Thing know I've been wanting to check this game out for about 4 months now.
I've, on three separate occasions, have looked at you looking at your TV on the buy page.
Yeah. I wanted to know. I like the other games in that series.
There's a lot of hype on this event, but each time you're like,
This is the original one they made, right? Like, they made one that was a remake of, I remember playing that. I'm like, this seems kind of like someone emulating a Master System game, but not as good as a Master System game.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. For anyone who didn't know, this was being made by an indie company, and it seemingly was inspired by the Monster World games. And then eventually the creator of the series came over to help them make this a real deal thing.
Huh.
It's not good. It's really not good. The first two transformations I've gotten in this game were bad. I enjoyed the game the most when I was a normal human.
Always a good sign.
Yeah, so that's that. Anyways, that's about all I've played. As a part of hacking your 3DS, you have to download Pokemon Picross. And then you have to edit the save file to inject some code, right?
Okay.
And then they're like, if you want to play it again, just delete the game and re-download it from the store. I'm like, yeah, I should do that. And then I stopped one step short and I'm like, well, if I play a Picross game, Eric wins. And then I put the 3DS down and I never did it. Bob, did you play any Picross this week?
I did not play it.
Oh, well, what did you play?
I tried Street Fighter V. Now they did that final update for it.
Ooh, oh, cool.
They added those new filters.
Yeah.
I had people at me over saying the filters looked bad. Hey, Bob, how do the filters look?
Well, the pixel filter is so bad, I stopped playing the one match I tried it in.
Whoa!
You didn't even get through the whole thing?
No, I couldn't even get through a whole match.
Super!
I went to a bright level. I went to Kanzuki's Beach, and I had a character wearing white. That was too much. It tries to emulate a TV, and they get blown out. So everything's just intensely bright with a grid pattern over
only
it.
Only you had auto HDR.
It looks hideous. It's painful to look at.
Okay.
Not recommended. Never use pixel mode.
Okay.
Now, cell shaded mode. It looks bad, like 100%, but it's kind of interesting to see them do this. Like, it doesn't look good in any regard, but when the camera's fully pulled out for just fighting instead of, doing any sort of close ups, because those look horrible, I can at least see some appeal to it of like, it looks neat and it's cool to see these high fidelity animations on something with the cell shaded style, even if it's like a really, really phoned in cel shade style, like extremely.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really recommend either, but it made me notice when I was using these modes, I didn't see ads in the loading screen.
Okay.
Which had been a thing for the last like few years since they did that big renewal, the Champion Edition. They put those in and like they advertise their own game. So it's something you're already playing. It's like, hey, you should go buy the expansion pass. And it's like, I did.
Please stop.
So I tweeted about that, and some viewer was like, hey, you can actually turn that off. And they showed me the menu. The menu is buried not in any option menu that you would normally expect it to be. It's under ranked matches. You go to battle settings, and there you can turn the ads off, and it works for everything in the game.
It's like,
how strange.
We've been complaining about this for, what, 2 years?
Something yeah. like that.
Yeah.
So that's good. I play a few online matches. It felt okay.
Okay.
I assume I just had a, you know, good luck. Because I don't think that they would have redone the net code and not told anyone.
Not a chance. Yeah. Not a chance that they'd have been fucking front and center.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still like playing Street Fighter. Sometimes it's fun to go back to a more simplistic fighting game like this.
Yeah.
You don't need to learn three movesets at once for KOF.
You don't need air dashes and air blocking and the fractal guard and eight different colors of burst. And
you don't need Rashid to activate burst.
And absurd zoom-ins and giant numbers behind you every time you hit someone.
Counter.
I also played Strive.
Oh, okay.
Because I put Testament in.
Yeah.
So I tried them out. And I didn't get to play much as them before I realized, wait, I have hardly touched this game since they put in Baikin. So I'm going to play as her.
Well, whatever you do, Bob, don't take a picture of Baikin and post to the PlayStation Network.
Psychotic.
My fucking God.
What the fuck is wrong with them?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
like, come on. Your brand isn't being hurt by Coomers posting on social media.
No, it's being destroyed. Also, you can't tweet about Dragon Quest XI because hose is in the word echoes.
PlayStation, come on.
Yeah, no, this sucks. So,
somebody in the executive level at PlayStation is like, has like a hard drive full of skeletons, and like, if I keep attacking, nobody will realize it's me.
So how's Baikin?
It's pretty good. It's pretty fun. Had cool. some fun with that, and then I was like, okay.
Now I'll play Testament.
Now I'll go play Genshin.
Oh, whoops. How's the Genshin event?
They added a whole new area.
Cool.
Called the Chasm. I haven't been able to do too much in this area, but it like adds on to the China portion of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So it's different from what they have been doing, where they kept adding islands to the Japan sort of section.
Mm-hmm.
There are puzzles in this area that kind of require you to use specific characters. Like, you can use the main character set to Geo mode, so he drops like big bricks when he uses his magic spell.
Okay.
Or you can use Zhong Li, who just always does that. Luckily, that since everyone gets the Traveler, the main character, it's very doable. I just didn't know that's what they wanted for a while. Luckily, I saw people tweeting about, hey, you should probably use this. Because the gimmick with this area is you have these big stone structures that you hit them and they release like a shockwave. And they have to, like, you have to bounce shockwaves off various ones of these structures. And the main character can show down that brick, and the brick gets hit in the chain reaction and works with it.
Hmm.
So it's the only way to complete some puzzles.
Okay.
So knowing that, I was like, this is neat. It's cool to have this huge new area to explore and more stuff to do it. And there's story there too. And I also rolled for Ayaka's brother, Ayato. Luckily, yeah. It went well. I got him after 70 rolls.
Thank God.
I got him because I had to do the 5 rolls to get the battle pass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I wasn't going to. Then I found out he's just Virgil because I did his trial.
Yes.
Like, his thing is characters have what is called elemental skill and elemental burst. And burst is like their ultimate move. But his elemental skill is he will, when you hit the attack button, he will, like, attack with an after image that shoots out of him, and it's very Virgil like.
Yeah, then he just goes into his quick draw stance, and every normal attack becomes that, like a quick draw sort of thing.
Oh, cool.
It's very neat. So that's cool. And that's everything I played.
I'm just glad we don't have to do another stream where you roll for the brother.
It would have been really funny.
No, no.
Chad's like, here's $10,000. Or, like, please.
Oh.
And you're like, hell yeah, let's go.
Okay. Well, hey, Casey.
What?
What's you been playing?
That update for Returnal came out, so I've been playing that. Put out the,
Did I talk about that last big thing?
You didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, you said afterward you hadn't played enough or something.
Okay. Yeah, I played about an hour.
Yeah, I did not do any of the co-op stuff at all.
Gotcha.
But I did the Tower of Sisyphus that they added,
because
I was interested in, like, the ramp up and how that would feel and stuff. And Yeah, I like that a lot. I haven't gotten very far in it because it's still pretty challenging. But I do like the flow that they're going for. So the premise is anytime you start that game, there's still no main menu. You just go to the same crash site that exists in that. But they've added like two new doors. One for the co-op zone where you just connect to someone else. And then another like upper room that takes you to this tower. You can do it anytime, but sometimes they'll give you... It's better if you've done this if you've beaten the game. Because they let you use all of the... all of the upgrades that you got permanently on your character. So it's like, oh, the damage floors or shooting that ball to make platforms appear.
Mm-hmm.
Like that stuff's still in there. So you can have an easier time going through it. It plays a little bit more like a traditional roguelike type thing where it's combat rooms. You clear them out. You want to do it quickly so you can get a better chain and a better multiplier. And then you go into the center, activate a pad, you shoot up to the next one. And they'll punctuate every couple of floors with, like, oh, there are two chests in this room with weapons. Or here's a free upgrade of something or a free, like, relic item. And then sometimes they'll throw a shop at you. And then I think it's after 15 or 20 floors, they make you fight a boss. And the boss is all right. It's kind of like this big stationary thing. Shoots a bunch of bullets. You know, the usual. And I thought it was, you know, it was pretty all right. And then when the boss is beaten, it explodes and gives you an unavoidable permanent malfunction to your character that you cannot remove. Because Returnal decided we can't get away from the drugs. and they're like, don't worry, even the items that exist in the game that delete malfunctions will not work on this thing. We just wanted the experience to be worse as you play.
That's and the one hollow I bones hollow bones
yeah, hollow bones. They're like, you beat the boss and it's explosion that hits everywhere did it. And I look up at it and it says, if you're stationary, you deal 25% damage. The next one is, if you're in the air, you deal half damage. So it's random. Oh. You don't always get the exact same one.
See, the first one is like, whatever. If you're standing still in Returnal, you're dying.
Yeah, right. but then they're like mid-air damage cut by 50% permanently.
But it's Returnal. The point of the game is that you live in the air.
Well, that just means you'll want to just start this over. Maybe you can get through the first chunk without without them deciding that's the way that your legs have to be get caved in. One thing I think is interesting, and I'm not willing to give the game credit yet, they might have hit it up higher in the tower mode. I've not noticed any moment where they're like, this will fuck you up if you pick this up. I've noticed no poisonous things at all. It's just been the regular health stuff. I have noticed parasites. I've had three, maybe four runs in which they give me an item that says, if you pick this up, this will be great when you get parasites. Never encountered them in any of those runs, and that made me go, oh, god damn you. But then the one time I do find one, it's like, here's a specialized room. It's your break room. There are two parasites here. Their downsides aren't even that immense, and we have a little machine so you can convert one if you don't like this one immediately. But it mixes the various enemies from the game. I feel like the first biome has that disco ball enemy.
Mm-hmm.
That when you beat it up, it'll sometimes explode and then shoot out the malfunction bullets.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. 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 That's like in the first zone. But overall, it was fairly sober. I like that there's like different locales to the tower. The first one, you're like rising up. And then the second one, it's like a shattered tower. So each time you go through one, they have you whip around a large expanse, like horizontally, to go to other areas. But if you like the core gameplay of Returnal, want something that's a bit closer to a roguelike, but still got a little bit high when they hit that boss. Yeah, I would definitely recommend that. It also just felt good because the time to get new guns is much faster, which I find infinitely more interesting in that, where I'm like, I want something quirky now. I don't want this handgun.
Mm-hmm.
So that felt...
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't want the sidearm. I need choices very, very quickly. And then they have some other like gimmicks in it. Like there's like... Instead of those golden tentacle enemies that give you a lot of obelites, there's silver ones that if you like kill it, it creates an orb that stays up for a few seconds, and if you get to it in time, it warps you somewhere. So they got some, they have some interesting stuff there. But that's all I play besides the Yu-Gi-Oh game, and there's no new content in it until next week, so I don't have much to say about it.
Okay. Phil, what have you been up to?
I played Kirby in the Forgotten Land.
I'm jealous.
So am I.
You know how in the first year of the Switch they made a Zelda and Mario game that are really arguably the best in their franchises and have a bunch of new ideas and are really impressive?
You're getting me excited.
This is that for Kirby.
Yes!
That makes sense.
I then, having not played it, I'm not going to say a whole lot about Forgotten Land because nobody's played it but me, and I don't spoil anything. It's good. It has a lot of content also. Like, more than I expected.
I might break down and get it. I don't know.
I would say it has 30% more content than I expected.
Wow.
And I don't mean expected. I mean hoped. I was like, this is my reasonable hope for how much content this game has, knowing how much content the last game that people said was content light had. And then it's like, we have more content than that, and then we have even more content than that.
Oh, that's great, because I was just going to ask you, does it have more arena content than the recent Ratchet and Clank game?
That wouldn't be hard.
I'm satisfied with the arena content it has.
Okay, that's good. All I need is just a feeling of satisfaction of, there's at least something worth doing in here.
The upgrading the powers is really cool.
Ooh.
It matters a lot more than just they get stronger. you get some powers. Okay. You get some powers that the franchise has never let you have before that are really exciting.
Oh, nice.
To be allowed to use. You know how Kirby games have have really impressive set piece endings, usually, despite being a 2D platformer. Like Superstar has you fight against Nova in the ship, and then you fight Marx on like the dark planet.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think in the Wii one, Return to Dreamland, there's like a Space Harrier segment, and you fight Magalore. They did it in 3D.
Oh, that's great.
Like, the thing about this is this doesn't feel like the first 3D Kirby game. It feels like they made 15 years of these before this one.
Yeah, that's kind of the impression I was getting.
It's insane how much they got right on this first attempt. It also doesn't have the problem that a lot of them have where it's like, where did I miss that thing? Where is this collectible that I missed in this level?
Are you telling me it doesn't have the Kirby's Dream Land 3 problem? Where you finish the level and you go, no, wait, seriously, what?
Yeah, I finished a Kirby 64 level. I'm like, I missed all three of these things. How?
there's the direct. There's Waddle Dees and you save them and they're in Waddle Dee Town.
Mm-hmm.
There's three you get at the end of every level. There is 3 to 5 hidden somewhere in the level. And then there's ones you get from doing challenges, and some of the challenges are, they add replay value by basically, because you'll never do them the first time through the level unless you're just insanely lucky. Because it's stuff like complete this section of the level without falling off, which is easier. But one of them's like jump on this one platform and eat this sleeping enemy and take a nap in this one spot. and once you finish the level, it'll tell you some of the more esoteric ones.
Yeah, I did notice that even in the demo, because Dan did the extra objective and I did not in that, where it's like I finished and they're like, do this flower thing. I'm like, I missed this. they just translated it for me.
Something that I did not expect this game to have at all is the challenges, the power challenges from like Return to Dreamland. Except in that it was just a post game thing. You go to like a menu and you get to the room of special challenges. In this, you have like a world map that Kirby flies around on to get to levels. And every time you complete a level, it will open at least one of those challenges.
Okay.
And the challenges give you the materials to upgrade your powers.
Ooh.
So yeah, all the systems like flow together in a way that's really great. I've already basically 100%ed the game. I think I'm like at 85%, but I've done all I'm interested in doing, because I don't need to collect every Waddle Dee, and they don't want you to. I assume they want you to, but you don't have to, because like there's no, at least not that it shows you, any super big reward for doing so. You can unlock all the features of the town for like with like 70% of them.
Cool.
But yeah, fantastic music. Also, probably one of the best Kirby soundtracks.
What?
Yeah, this is. I would say this is the best Kirby game by like a high margin.
Get the wallet out, Dan. Oh. I mean, it happened again. The new Nintendo, the new game from a Nintendo IP got their best entry by accident.
Like I would say this is like the Kirby version of Metroid Dread.
Yep. Yeah, that's what I was expecting you to say when it was like, uh-oh, it happened again.
Well, there's like, always the fallback plan. You know, we had someone ask us on a stream recently, what do you guys do if you don't hit a stream goal? And I go suck dick for money. Time for plan B.
It's what Kirby would have wanted.
It's what he would want.
I do it for you, Kirby.
couldn't be more happy with it. It like Kirby has, I don't know if you guys found this in the demo, Kirby has witch time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where if you dodge an attack, he has a dodge. He has this block like Superstar Saga, mm-hmm. which is a little bit more balanced than Superstar Saga, because in Superstar Saga, it just negated all damage. And in this, it's like some things still do tick damage unless you have certain powers that have a shield. But you do witch time and then you have a counter hit.
I was not ready. That
does a bunch of damage. But yeah, can't say enough good things about it. Very, very impressive game. I played Star Allies after. That game sucks.
Did you finish it?
That game, no, I played an hour. I played the first world. I'm like, wow, this does not seem good. Like, even by 2D Kirby standards.
Yeah, I was kind of heartbroken by that one.
Yeah.
It didn't pop like, in a way that a lot of the others do.
So the main mechanic of Star Allies is you hold up on the D-pad and you watch a two-second animation of one of your NPC helpers power up your weapon, and then you just floss on the level.
Yeah.
And so, here's another thing about Forgotten Land that's good. Whenever it's like you're going to need this one power to access something, that guy's right there and he'll respawn.
Whoa.
Huh.
And usually that will be like the primary enemy of that area. So it's like if you need the hammer to pound stakes, there'll be like a hammer guy scattered all through that section of the game.
Yeah.
You don't need to try and kite them in from a different stage entirely.
You don't have to be like, oh, damn it, I should have saved the hammer from the first area, or like, oh, I accidentally killed him, damn. Also, you don't have to press anything anymore to get powers when you inhale them, because you can't press down. It's a 3D game.
Yeah.
You just instantly get them, which is neat. Most of the powers have interesting usage. All the throat goat modes are really funny. and some of the puzzles they come up with for them are really clever. And that post-game stuff is... There was weird Kirby isn't hard discourse about this game, but even the main game I feel like is more challenging than the vast majority of Kirby games. Like, it's not hard, but it's like, yeah, I died like twice. That's a lot for a Kirby game.
That's infinitely more than the normal Kirby game where you don't die.
Yeah. I'm sure you would die in Star Allies.
I'm not, actually. I don't know.
Star Allies, I bought physically. That game's going to GameStop.
Yeah, I feel like I did that in one sitting when it came out, and I think that was like 5 hours. I remember literally nothing but the final boss, because again, every set piece Kirby game has a really cool final boss, and that one had a pretty good one, but that's all I can say about it.
I would say that Forgotten Land, if you're doing all like the side challenges, which unlock on the world map and give you resources, so why wouldn't you do them? Also, they're usually clever and fun. I'd say 9 or 10 hours. Maybe even a little bit more.
Why couldn't they just sell this for $10 less at Walmart? I was going to get a day one if they did that. Then they screwed me. And I'm like, guys, I don't have money.
But yeah, Forgotten Land, fantastic. Like it's like the Switch really is like Nintendo's best when it comes to their long running franchises. Because you got Metroid Dread, you got this, you got Mario Odyssey, you got Zelda.
Yeah, you got Breath Metroid Prime.
No, you don't. I don't know what you're talking about here. That's weird.
But imagine.
It'd be cool.
Imagine if they reveal that game and then are like a spring 2023.
That'd be cool. I'd be like, I wonder what's happening in spring 2023.
It's a mystery. No one knows. It's unsolvable.
In fact, we're launching it the exact same day as the next Zelda game. Why? Why would you cannibalize like that?
Strange.
How bizarre. but that is all I have played.
Oh, okay.
This week.
Then it's time to talk about the Pod Lords.
Oh, shit.
Oh, fuck.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, Bob. When you say whoa, every time in my brain I insert slow down, babe.
That's fair.
Yes, that's right. The Pod Lords. Pod Lords such as E. Lee Broyles, Corey Brown. Formed from 9 7-Eleven employees, this Pokemon's tails are filled with Mountain Dew flavor.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Oh no. Hands are so human-like.
I didn't even look.
Red Blaze 27. Goblin Mode Juicifrost.
That's not a thing. Quit trying to make it a thing.
Suzu Zero. Ever Zero. Shibuya Gato. Twist villain of the show, David Jaffe.
What?
I'll take speculation of what it is.
I'm pretty sure that's Hans from Frozen.
Oh, yeah. That's okay. Hans. I was like, is that Bioshock Infinite?
What character is that? The CEO of racism?
That's Ryan the Lion.
That's a character in Bioshock Infinite, KZ.
Yeah, I know.
Rado. 101 Shades of Wonderful Remastered. WTF, Spider-Man, Arceus.
Dun, 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 dun.
That's a really strong machoke.
Holy shit.
Krachoke is what we kept calling it on Pokemondays. When I fall for the Japanese April Fool's announcements again this year because of the time difference. I'm sorry. DFW3K Muckbun. Thank you, Bob Video Games, for reuniting me with my beloved brother. I will bless you with one Mew favor.
Oh. Like, what?
Bob drew the Mewtwo. The people in chat are like, you realize that looks like Mega Mewtwo X, right? We're like, no way. And we pull it up. Yep, battle armor.
Yeah, you literally made Mewtwo X, which I appreciate. Not enough things acknowledge Mewtwo X.
I wonder why. To be fair, I think Mega Mewtwo Y shows up in Smash. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's way worse.
Yeah. No, I hate Mewtwo Y. That's why I'm like, can you maybe balance these instead of that shit you do with Charizard? I'm like, I know Charizard Y is unfortunate. I get it, but come on.
Kristen. Kirby, please don't eat our Tonberry. They don't taste like actual, they actually taste like berries.
Got a little bit of slobber.
That's adorable.
Doink mouth.
This is how you get that Kirby with the knife.
Raido Kuzunoha and Nocturne Figma pre-order waiting room.
It'd be like that.
Lalasune could have been a mother to me. You don't get to judge me, not after giving her brain freeze from your Slurpees. Kyle Bjork.
Gundam will never be topped.
E3 got canceled so nobody would slap Randy Pitchford like Will Smith. Matty Moe. Iron Aggro. Blig de Blue. Schlig dis poo. Eat.
Ooh.
Monster Hunter Ryzen and Raiden BN12. The VTuber Shidakami Fubuki, a fox girl, interviewed a shirtless Jared Leto for Morbius.
Just trying to ride on most, trends, that's I the, see.
That's the most people who will ever give a shit about Morbius.
Jordan. It's been a month. I haven't left my room. There's something growling and hissing downstairs. I think it's my partner.
Oh, no. I don't get it. Someone explain it.
Well, it's an Elden okay. Ring boss door. Don't worry about it.
Oh!
So, no X6 speedrun race?
I wonder who that's for.
I appreciate this.
It's okay, Bob. Just sit stationary. Don't move.
Vox, what are you doing here? What is this, a crossover episode? When you witness violence, Limau, bottom text.
He made more. That's why he did Only God Forgives. Just imagine Ryan Gosling reacting like me whenever somebody gets hurt.
Yeah,
that's I'm sure all he does. I learned.
He's completely motionless outside of that. AG's bird facts. Baby owls look very alien-like without all of their flight feathers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I fought something like that in Returnal.
I'm pretty sure this is what a FromSoft enemy would look like, only covered in blood and shit.
Yep.
Keep Chaos' name out of your fucking mouth. Drive type cam. Zessiana is now 26 and must pay for health insurance.
Oh, that's right. Look, just don't pay for it and be like, if I die, I die.
That is not professional advice of the Gigaboots Podcast Network. That is what we call
American advice.
That's what we call a joke.
That's what we call a funny ha-ha, yuck-yuck.
Bitsy. Indigo Sykes. Echoes. More like Echoes, am I right?
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, people saw the tweet where I was like, are you fucking serious? I am not a feeble, pitiful imbecile. I am not a feeble, pitiful imbecile. I am not
what
a feeble, pitiful imbecile.
The fuck is that?
I am not a feeble, pitiful imbecile.
What the fuck is that supposed to be?
That's a Magikarp.
No, it's not!
And it's crossing its arms because it's a VTuber Magikarp.
Why is Magikarp orange?
Because this one is. That's what makes him quirky. God,
Florida regional variants are out of control.
He has lots of carotene. Who's feeding this fish carrots? Mm-hmm. A raccoon reminding people that One Piece is great and you should read it.
Don't look at me like that, though.
Dolly zoom shot of the raccoon.
What is it? Sam Raimi presents the Pod Lords? Oh, joy, hee-ho, it's man-made horrors beyond my comprehension, oh!
Oh, no!
Oh, no, not that.
I have deep PTSD for any X6 boss at the end of that game, sweet God. Slip them into podboards like this. Shinji 16 was already a raccoon and Tonberry appreciator for years and wants to thank his fellow podlords for amplifying it more. Ultra wide, 4K cats and ferrets.
Oh, that's real good.
It's so cute. That might even be the same image, but it's so cute. Virmvarm, no bit. Here's a pearl to compensate.
Hey!
Look at him. Pearl's a cutie.
Oh.
Seventh generation heroes.
I'm gonna have a stroke.
The Super Mim. Lane's World 25. Party on, Bob.
Party on, Dan.
The Hard M. And Sarlene, thank you very much to our Podlords.
Thank you.
Thank you, Podlords.
Thank you, Podlords. And if you'd like to become a Podlord, you can go to our Patreon at patreon.com/GBpodcast. For as little as $5 a month, you get access to many benefits such as early access to Chugging Bleach, our Bleach review podcast where we review all of Bleach, extended armchair dev pitches and gamer premonitions when those shows force us to leave ideas on the cutting room floor because their structure is inherently cruel, and a patron exclusive show one per month where you get to vote on what good or bad thing we have to watch and talk about. That's patreon.com/GBpodcast. And if you don't have any money, it always helps us immensely to tell your friends or just share clips of us screaming at something. It happens a lot. Patreon.com/GBpodcast.
Like, say, when you throw a single Ultra Ball and Moltres says, okay, I'll get in just to own that one guy in chat.
That's a 0.87% chance of working.
Yes, it is.
Didn't you have like 2 seconds on the clock too?
Yeah, it was literally, no, that was for Moltres, it was my first ball I threw. Like literally the timer starts, health. I throw one ball. Full health, no damage, no nothing. It was hilarious because we immediately go from someone going, I'm never trusting in you again, Dan. I'm putting all my points on no, to me going, okay, let's see how that goes. And Bob, you hear Bob go, it's a completely random chance, you guys. It could work. It was fantastic. Just like the news this week. Wait. Okay, only some of the news this week.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag here.
I'm going to beat up Sony a bit before we talk about the PlayStation Plus stuff.
Okay.
Everybody's Golf is having their servers shut down on September 30th this year.
More like Nobody's Golf. Bada boom.
That's a real bummer, so I guess I got to go play more of that game. Get that out of my system. That is the PS4 game for anyone who has it.
It's still playable offline, but I don't know. Everything was so online connected.
That
I have no
one
idea.
That one part you can go to is pretty not online.
Okay.
But the main feature they touted is nothing but online. The thing that was like, look, everyone's playing in real time. I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah, it's really dumb.
I have like 20 hours in that game, and I've engaged with nothing but the, a new guy has arrived. He's your rival. Now you got to do this event. And then I just did that for 20 hours. So yeah, I don't even know what the online shit was until you mentioned it just now.
You should go try it. Apparently, you will no longer be able to.
I got to hurry.
Later this year, Flintstones running sound. Bob's like, Scooby-Doo running sound, actually. I didn't realize this. Sony's still censoring tweets and DMs on PS5, so you can't say stuff as simple as and banal as your mom
or damn
or hose.
Wow.
Or those letters in that combination within another word, as we've outlined.
This is absolutely absurd, and Sony needs to cut this out. Like, this is absolutely ridiculous. They have a first party title where people fuck like on screen. Come on. You can't sit here and seriously be like, well, our platform's a very family-friendly one.
I'm like,
which has never been the case. It's insane.
That's not their brand. That's 1980s Nintendo's brand.
You have games rated T where people are just saying shit over and over again. Like,
yeah, Uncharted, he curses countless times.
Yeah.
I don't know what their deal is. They need to cut this out. Sadly, nobody's going to blow him up about it. I really wish they would, though, because this is absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Let's see. I guess we'll just jump to the new Sony news then. Go ahead, Casey. You wrote it in your thing.
Okay. So, this is for Sony's Spartacus thing, now being just called PS Plus with different words in front of it. They announced it. This is coming out in June. I wrote down all the different tiers we have here. So, tier one is PlayStation Plus Essential. That's $10 a month, $25 for 3 months, or $60 a year,
and it's just PlayStation Plus as it is now.
Yeah, it's that is literally what we're looking at for
that. The same price structure is now too.
Yeah, so nothing's changed.
Yes,
tier one is normal.
Yeah. Next up, tier two is PlayStation Plus Extra. $15 a month, $40 for 3 months, or $100 a year. This adds a library of 400 PS4 and 5 games to download.
Okay. So, I think this is just adding the PS4 catalog from PlayStation Now, possibly. Because you know how PlayStation Now lets you do PS4 downloads and streams?
Yeah, I recall them trying that at some point.
I haven't done the count on the PS4 games, because there was a more important catalog they announced to count.
Mm-hmm. And then we go to the last tier here, which is a PlayStation Plus Premium. That's $18 a month, $50 for 3 months, or $120 a year.
God, so it's doubling the price. What's it offering, KZ?
Okay, it's got all those things that I mentioned from the other ones, but adds 340 games, including PS3 games you can stream.
It should not count. This is...
Yeah, those aren't games.
Uh-huh. A catalog of PS1, PS2, and PSP games you can download and stream.
Oh, wow, that sounds like
choke
great.
On my dick if I can't buy them.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. this better be we just took the shit that was on the PS3 store and it now works on PS5.
You have to wonder.
Five.
Yeah, they really like, should have done that, any that, sort of announcement around this.
Of what
that,
sort of...
That saves this instantly, if yeah. it's like that. If it's not, they can choke on my cock.
Well, we gotta get through the last feature to get to the gut punch.
Yes. Timed game trials. So if you get this super high tier, you have the ability to try games before you can buy them. You can, like, play, like, an hour.
You mean I can demo games?
Yes. Well, what I'm saying is that you need to pay my service $18 a month or $120 a year for demos.
That sounds like something that should just be standard.
That is one... I assume it's going to be something like you can play 5 hours of our next AAA game.
And then I have this last bullet here. Red flag... PS Now currently has
375 PS3 games. They announced 340 PS3, PS1, PS2, and PSP games, but they already have more than that in PS3 games.
What? Well, they got to drip feed that shit. To make it seem like they're adding value.
How many PS1, PS2, and PSP games are we getting when the total amount of those plus PS3 is already starting 335 lower than what we already had?
At least 10.
That's nuts.
Oh, yeah, this is really bad.
This is terrible.
They've communicated nothing in the lineup, which makes this even worse, so it just becomes this thing of, here's a blog post with text and literally no content to it. I can't anticipate what classic I'm going to play. You've just told me that I may spend money for nothing.
I don't know who's in charge of Sony's messaging, but they need to be fired.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is dire.
This is alarmingly... this is worse than I thought it was going
this
to
be. This is literally worse than the Nintendo thing, where Nintendo's like, we will announce later this year how we will charge you more. And we were like, excuse us?
And like, don't worry, here's the price, but no appeal!
Yeah.
Somebody on Twitter to me said this has the energy of, like, Jim Ryan or some executive being like, I'll prove nobody wants backwards compatibility by introducing this dud, and then I'll be right when everybody hates it. And that does kind of feel like this is clueless on a level that is embarrassing.
Yeah, if you do this without giving us the ability to buy and download and play these separately, that's clown shoe shit, and that's going to make people angry. If you release 350 PS3 games, or sorry, 330 PS3 games, and then 10 PS1, PS2, and PSP, and then go, see, they're not interested in back compatibility. It's like, some of these aren't games. Streaming does not count. Even with the best internet connections, it doesn't feel good.
Also, if we're going to get more... on this hypothetical situation, they have a bunch of PS2 games on here, for example. Ones that were on the PS3 store.
Mm-hmm.
And they still want me to buy them again. We're going to have another large problem of what the fuck is wrong with you.
I mean,
I'm more accepting of that than the option of they won't let you buy them.
Oh, yes, I know. There are multiple hurdles here. Here's a hurdle with a problem on it.
Okay, here's another fact. There are 54 PS2 games on the PS4.
And it was so,
yeah, that was, I assume some of them will definitely be that.
So what we're saying right now, okay.
I'm shocked it's 54, honestly. What I thought we're saying, it was like 30, Jesus.
Yeah, no, it's more than they have Xbox original games on Xbox Series, like Back and Pat, or Xbox One Back and Pat.
Yeah, because all I was thinking about is the gaps that were PS3 only.
What we're saying here is that they already have 429 PS3 games streamable and PS2 games downloadable, and they're announcing almost 100 fewer.
Yes, and want to be hype about it.
I'm glad you can do math because it makes me more upset.
What's going on?
Like nothing. That's what's going on.
Nintendo announced this during a direct. How did they not have any sort of visual to go with this? Or anyone to talk about it? It's just this weird sterile blog post.
Nintendo announced it by showing gameplay of games that you will play on the Surface.
This is embarrassing.
This is a pitch that you would do in that company, not something you just release for average people to look at.
This is internal documents posted on a blog and pretending.
Yes, it is.
Hey,
yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah. This is as bad as that Series S thing that leaked when the Xbox was coming out. That they never released for real.
Yeah, the only
it's on that level.
The only thing missing is them patting themselves on the back in an interview.
Yes. To themselves.
And like
yes, to themselves.
Let's say we're all being horribly cynical and that 340 is actually all the PS1, PS2, and PSP games. How are they gonna run?
I mean, I could see
in 64 games run like shit on the Switch.
Yeah, but the Switch is it's not even close to the PS5 in power.
But PS2, no, I mean, like, how good is the emulation? The PS2 on the PS4 was shit, is shit, by and large.
By and large, it's not amazing. There are some that are terrible and some that are actually pretty fine. But, yeah, that's the thing. At the end of the day, it's like, how am I supposed to even remotely start getting excited? You just buried the number completely. Yeah. I can't even begin to divine what the number of PS1, PS2, and PSP games are.
You didn't give me one to be like, cool.
They have a... This is going to be the first time PSP games are on a console.
Yes. Well, technically.
Yeah, the other ones, they pretend.
The other ones, they're like, look at this game. We ported it. And I'm like, this is your emulator. I know you have that emulator.
No,
they're like,
not.
We can't hear you.
No, it's not. Play Patapon.
Here's our bespoke version of Parappa the Rapper.
Man, that's the whitest I've ever heard that name.
I'm like, wow, this is great. So is the audio latency a feature? And then they lock the door.
And we're like, we're Sony, we don't allow refunds.
Goodbye. Yeah, this sucks. Here's me being optimistic.
Okay.
I'm going to give whatever this nightmare service is 1 year.
Oh my God, okay.
Yeah, I'm literally going to sign up for the premium for 1 year.
All right.
And regardless of whether they do downloads past that, or they don't at all because they're sickos, I'm turning it off after 1 year. Because there's no world in which I need to constantly sample 300 games. Like, that doesn't actually make sense for me. I want to buy what I want to buy. Me signing up for this plan is my way of testing a bunch of the shit they released. Just to see how good it's coming in, right?
Right.
But I don't see a world... I'm a huge retro guy. I would love to play these games on my new system. $120 a year ain't fucking happening, my man.
Yeah, and then when it turns off, it's all gone. You have nothing to show for your $120 spent.
It's okay, Bob. Everyone always goes on the up and up. No one's life ever gets slightly worse. Their income only grows, right?
Yeah, that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how that always works for everyone.
Eternal
forever.
Subscription services aren't primarily made for well-off enthusiasts, not actually for poor people like every fucking psychopath in the media insists they are. They will be boiled.
Yeah!
So you can't... Can you... One moment. Okay, looks like... It looks like Game Pass Ultimate with a discount is 106 yearly or 180 yearly without the discount.
Whoa.
It has 440 games and the EA Play stuff, which is already factored into the 440. The Sony numbers don't look great compared to that, but they do have a lot more technically because they have, what is that number again? 400?
Yeah, 400 PS4, PS5 games, then 340
question mark games.
Yes, anything.
Anything older than a PS4, which is all trash. Just ask Jim, he'll tell you. That doesn't, like, on one hand, it's like, okay, if you mostly give games that aren't streaming and give me new games that haven't been ported to stuff basically ever, right?
Right.
This could be really exciting. I would love an obscene amount of retro games, but I don't think they're going to do it.
They've never committed that hard since the PS3 was all those PS1 games we got. That was insane.
Yeah, it was amazing when every 7th gen console got one thing right, and it was playing old games. Well, okay. The PS3 and the Wii got that right.
Yeah.
And then every gen since has been them being like, no, we're not doing that again.
I think publishers hate it. Or are they going to release remasters or something? No.
But they could, which means they might lose money.
They might lose money later, hypothetically.
On a thing they aren't going to make.
On a remaster of a game they'll do that might look worse.
A remaster of a game that might look worse. Hey, I have some news.
Yeah?
Chrono Cross remake.
Oh, no.
It does not let you switch to the original soundtrack.
I can't buy that. I'm sorry.
That isn't even the case, though, actually.
Are you sure? They updated it on their own blog to clarify. You cannot switch the original soundtrack.
They say
you have
refined
to play.
Sound quality. Those rearranges are not in the game. Those are a soundtrack they're selling.
According to this one clip I have from it, that rearrange is the one new song. That's the, what was it? The acclaimed composer, original Chrono Cross, is back with a new track. And most of the track has been refined, meaning the sound quality has been improved. So
yes,
whatever it is.
That is not rearranged. It's just that it has a higher sound quality than before.
Whatever it is, we're stuck with whatever that new version sounds like, is what I'm saying. It will not sound exactly as it did originally.
No.
We don't know what it sounds like because they haven't gone, here's the refined version of Blank Song. Or at least I haven't seen that anywhere.
No, they have not. I assume it's just uncompressed. And that's literally the only difference.
Oh, man. That would be great.
Right.
I don't expect it.
Because they're doing a soundtrack. Purchasable soundtrack.
Yeah, Chrono Cross's OST is already on streaming platforms.
Yeah.
It's already on Spotify.
So that's where a lot of those rearranges are from. And places are reporting, no, that just means the sound quality will be higher. It's the same songs.
I hope they nail it, because I'm pretty sure most of Chrono Cross's soundtrack is using PlayStation 1 sound font stuff, right? So applying those notes and stuff to new instruments that don't sound identical could be a problem, but we would just have to see.
Right.
I figure
as long as it's not those rearranged ones they put up on their Twitter last week.
No, sure. Those don't even appear to be in the game, except for the new one.
Yeah, it just sounds like a new track, so maybe that's the one.
And the other one of these that Square has done have let you switch.
Yeah, they have, which is why this is so confusing. Like,
I'm reading it as, we didn't want to do a rearrange for this game because we don't think it's as important, but we'll give you higher quality.
That's the thing. Chrono Cross's soundtrack is amazing. Like, remixing it is a mistake inherently.
I mean, they released that pile of songs that were very much remixed.
Right.
So I'm sure that I would be surprised if that's not in the game in any form.
Yeah, so I'm just paranoid. Given everything that's been said here, I think the question mark really hangs over the whole soundtrack now.
It comes out like in a week.
I can't imagine
that phrasing
is a rearrange where it's like, the sound quality has improved. We made it a different song.
Oh yeah, I should read the actual update text because I didn't read that. Over the blog for the post, the update reads at the top of it, and this is Square's own blog. This article originally incorrectly stated that users can switch between the original and remastered soundtracks. Please note that this was an error and only the refined music can be played. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah,
if it's out in a week, we'll know.
Most of the music has been refined, meaning the sound quality has been improved.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. We get to find out if it's normal.
We get to have a surprise.
Normal, if it's normal or
insane.
Like what they did for Final Fantasy X at launch when they remastered that soundtrack.
Did they ever put the original back in?
That's the tier that what they released was.
Yeah, you had to wait until the PS4, Switch, and PC reports of that HD remaster to give you the option.
Oh, that was only the PS3 version. It doesn't exist then.
If you bought it on PS3 or Vita, you just had the hyper synthy remastered tracks. That's the reason I got the PS4 version, when it was like, you can just switch to the old stuff. I'm like, okay.
So I'm really hoping this isn't that situation.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
We'll find out in a week whether or not there's a monkey's paw.
Yeah.
You know, I transitioned to Chrono Cross. I should have transitioned to Xbox Game Pass Family Plan.
Okay.
Because it's a parallel to the PlayStation Plus news. Oh, well, here I am now. Rumors are out that they're doing a family plan. There you go. That's the news.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, like, to what extent they'll be, like, Nintendo generous.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nintendo's like, give us $20 more and you can just have 1 billion people on your planet.
Oh, okay. We'll all fit in the sardine can together.
But that's all my news. Hey, KZ, do you want to...
Yeah, I got a couple of Xbox things.
Okay.
I didn't write this one down, but this came out today.
Uh-huh.
Undead Labs is the developer that's working on... They do State of Decay, so they're making State of Decay 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they're seemingly not working on that right now because of exposés that came out about the work culture over there.
Oh.
Where it was a lot of burnout, a lot of toxicity and misogyny, and and stories about how Xbox was very hands-off until a while ago.
I wonder why.
On all forms of development, which allowed them to foster a bad culture over at that development studio. And they're trying to scale up to make a fully AAA game, and that's also caused issues. And
oh my god.
And then when Kotaku asked for, like, they asked to do, like, interviews with people, and the most they got were a statement from one of the higher-ups at Xbox, Matt Booty, and a list of things they've done to improve recently.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically like, we're solving it. It's not a big deal. Leave us alone. That's basically the tone I got from reading through the Kotaku article today.
It's funny in my head when I was like, they're like, hey, Matt Booty, would you like to comment on this? For some reason, when he replies and he does what I knew would be just the, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. I'm like, why does he sound like Tarantino in my head?
Yeah, I just thought it was funny because I saw the reset era thread of people going, so why are we confident about them doing well with Activision Blizzard? And then it's a lot of people spinning around in circles and shitting and pissing everywhere.
Yeah, that sounds like reset era.
Yeah.
Of like, no, it doesn't count. People know about this one.
Yeah, there's no reason for anybody to be confident about them with Activision Blizzard. They're not going to fire 70% of leadership upon acquiring them and throw every single project into massive disarray for years after spending $70 billion. That isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they do that?
I don't know. Weird.
Like, if that acquisition successfully goes through, they will crush any problems with the minimum amount of firing they can do.
But
that just the State of Decay thing makes me think, oh man, another CG trailer we saw 2 years ago that has literally not been working on it.
Yeah, remember it was the woman, she went rawr, and then the bear got scared.
Yep.
I remember that. We're like, what the fuck is this? And then State of Decay popped in, we're like, how?
Yeah. I think I told a joke about them trying to have their own Naughty Dog, and it's like they're making a AAA game. So maybe that's real.
Yeah, what it sounds like.
Everything around this was like the original guy sold to them because he was like, it was my family just like putting up the money to handle running the company, and if things or milestones aren't reached, I go out of pocket, and we're apparently trying to scale up for a massive AAA game on our next one. I can't do that. So I think this is like 2018 they passed it over to Microsoft, and Microsoft acquired them. Then I believe it was that founder also tried to snipe this article by posting something on Medium before it came out.
What? That's weird. I could have sworn they were acquired by Microsoft years ago after State of Decay 1 came out.
No, they weren't acquired by Microsoft until 2018.
Okay.
Okay.
Huh.
But yeah, that's everything going on about that. That little one snuck in. The other Xbox story I have is absurd, and I could not understand it. So, and the newest version of the Xbox's like UI, because they do that like early access thing where people can test things.
Right.
They were removing a feature from their OS. I was talking to Dan about it, but Phil, what feature do you think that they were going to delete from Xbox?
Like, they don't have that many.
I know. Think of some function that you feel like is standard that you would use on a modern day console.
Social, this like being able to post content onto something from the Xbox.
Ding, 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 ding.
Okay, so the announcement.
Fuck you.
So the announcement is they're rolling back their initial decision that when you hit the share button, they deleted the option to post it to Twitter. And they are backpedaling the decision of getting rid of it.
Why?
I don't know why.
So here's the thing that drives me insane. It's like Xbox does not have a vision at all. They added a share button just to delete the ability to post to Twitter right after that. Like, what?
Can you share it anywhere? Like, is Facebook still there or something?
Bob, I'm about to blow your mind.
Okay.
Here's how this makes sense to Microsoft.
Okay.
Why would you want to put it on Twitter? It's already up on your Xbox One Drive.
That's what I was going to say. It's like it's on your One Drive. We want you to go in there, and then you could post to wherever. We're giving you that freedom. But yeah, there was a post to Twitter button that was just gone in this new version, and then they're like, we're rolling it back.
That's so dumb. Dude, no one's ever used OneDrive. I'm sorry. It just hasn't happened.
I used it once because I couldn't find where my screenshots were.
I beat on Microsoft a lot, and this isn't even me beating on them. This is just a statement of fact. They have now reached the level of size as a corporation where they can't be directed. They're just like a big amorphous blob. So they just get ideas. And it's like, let's do it. And like, why? We don't know. our division will be cut if we're not working on something. So let's just do anything.
I'm really glad that I didn't give away what they were backpedaling on the notes. I'm like, no, it feels not going to find out about this.
Yeah, this is insane.
I need him to experience in real time. They were thinking about deleting features they made a button for.
But devs like that because it's
yes,
free market.
But they can't figure out how to do it in 8 years.
It's one of the most the Yakuza franchise was arguably saved in the West because of the PS4 share button.
Yes. The amount of games that do better, that's why every game has a photo mode now.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's all about Game Pass. It doesn't matter if anything is ever promoted and anybody ever remembers our game. We're now like Netflix.
Everyone's already forgotten the Tunic launched over there.
We don't need to sell games. We're a blockbuster you're trapped in.
Oh, it's not even like a cool blockbuster.
No, the popcorn machine's broken. They have no candy.
Pokemon Snap setup is not even turned on.
Yeah, I'm so upset. One of the YouTubers that I follow, I got to see like part of their studio, and they have the Pokemon Snap blockbuster machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm like, that's the type of shit I would waste my money on. But yeah, that's
stupid.
That's my Xbox news.
Oh, great. Do you have any other news?
I have some what seems potentially stupid news. We'll see.
Okay.
A Heart Machine announced Hyperlight Breaker today.
What?
This is the next Hyperlight game. It's coming out to early access next year. It's a 3D game. It's an action roguelite with online co-op.
Why is it a fucking roguelite?
Yeah, I don't
Hyper
know.
Hyperlight Drifter wasn't a fucking roguelite. Was Solar Ash these same people?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that was the actual. We can't make two single player games. Normal single player games. We're sorry.
What kind of confuses me too is that because this is a 2D game that's becoming 3D and it's also a roguelite, and I'm like, this is being published by Gearbox Publishing, who did Risk of Rain 2 that suddenly shifted to 3D, and I'm like, this is weird. Are you guys just picking up all of these now?
It's so strange. Like the trailer I watched involved a character you don't seem to play is in the game, which makes it more confusing.
Yeah, I don't know. I had to like look at the Steam pages, like screenshots, to even see the game being played. I just saw that cinematic, like animated thing they put out.
It being a roguelite makes sense with the end where it's like early access next spring, and I'm like, why is it early access? Isn't this a fucking single player fucking game?
I guess not.
It's like a normal video game. It's like, no. And I'm like, good. I never have to think about it again.
No, it's a roguelite with a 4-player co-op in it.
It almost has to be better than Solar Ash, though.
Yeah,
I would challenge a game to be worse.
Here's the real question: will it have Snanderpaws?
Oh man, can that be their Cid? Just put that everywhere.
Oh my god!
Put in Snuffleupagus in every game you make.
Oh my god! Jesus Christ!
Yeah, I just saw this and I went, this seems like something that would upset people that liked that first game. I don't know. I have no point of reference of those games. I hope it's good, I guess.
I mean, Hyper Light Drifter has a lot of combat rooms, so at least people will expect those in this.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of Hyper Light Drifter is the cooler art style that's really brought to life by the 2D pixel art.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I'm not sold on the way this looks yet.
You have a tail, though.
You sure do.
That's all I got. I'm looking at it.
Will Snuffleberry Danderpaw be in this one?
God damn
it. I thought Snanderpaw was his name. Turns out I took the first syllable from the first name.
God damn it.
You got any, Chef, I don't like this news. I think it's quite bad. Can you bring this back to the kitchen and get me some new news?
Okay. The only other piece of new news I have, the untitled sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild was delayed to spring 2023 in a video where Aonuma looked at the camera and said it's not ready yet, and then showed 6 seconds of new footage. just to show you the Master Sword's broken and fucked up. That's it. Also touting the fact the game's really big because you're going, you're on the ground, but you're also in the air and other stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, it's cool that they announced a brand new Nintendo Switch is coming out in spring of 2023. I know,
it's like, they delayed a Zelda game. I wonder what will happen alongside that.
What would ever cause them to delay
a Zelda game?
No, guys, Nintendo won't release a new Switch. It's not like that 6 years is basically the maximum lifespan of any Nintendo platform that isn't the fucking original Game Boy.
You remember remember the end of a Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild trailer where they put the year 2015 at the end? They definitely never delay these things.
No.
Yeah, I love people acting like, oh yeah, this is having development troubles. It's like, no, it's just a Zelda game, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, let me explain. You're fucking five years old and you somehow haven't lived through a Zelda delay before?
People go insane. It's like, guys, and I'm telling this to everyone, shut up. I don't want developers to have to check in with me every 3 months or else everybody starts assuming they all died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, haven't you learned by now? Fucking Shin Megami Tensei Crossfire Emblem was revealed at the Wii U launch. We didn't hear about it for 5 years and then it came out.
Field, to most people, because their brains don't work, there's no difference between all those Microsoft trailers that were CG shown to us 2 years ago and the sequel to Breath of the Wild.
Even though we've seen multiple gameplay videos, they think they're equally real.
Yes, right.
Yes.
Yeah. People are crazy.
Despite there being gameplay in one of them, they're equally real.
It got delayed probably 6 months, 5 months.
Yeah.
Doomed.
It's like this thing where it's like, I'm incapable of going beyond sometimes a game ships and sometimes they show something and it's not real. So it's never real. Like, taking individual performance into account never happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like how I know people who are like, that Project ReFantasy game Atlas is making isn't real. And I'm like, no, they just announced it at the very start of development. It'll probably show up. And the next time we see it, it'll be out in 2 months or 6 months. Like what happened with TMS and like what happened with SMT5.
Yeah. No, we got an update in the middle of it for SMT5 where we showed a dude walking.
Like, for better or worse, Japanese devs really love going, we're making this game, silence for 4 years. The game will be out in 6 months.
Yeah, and given interviews I've read over the years from a variety of them, it's because they don't want that shit. They want their announcement to be from them first and not a leak.
Right.
And they just don't care otherwise, where it's just a thing of...
And they go so long without showing, because... Hey, have you looked at, like, any of that Square Enix shit that doesn't seem ready for prime time? I would rather not see it if I don't have to argue with people that the game won't run at 14 frames a second.
yeah, that tends to be a bit better. the same thing could be said from... the differences of showing like some of Square's stuff, like FF15 and Kingdom Hearts 3. They didn't show Kingdom Hearts 3 for years and years, and I was like, this kind of sucks. But FF15, they showed it to me every month before launch, and I'm like, well, it doesn't look done yet! Why do you keep showing it to me?
And then you're like, oh no, it's just this engine, it'll never look done no matter what they do! We're seeing this in live action.
It's okay.
With
I'm sure the next game they do will run Bedho.
You don't understand. That was way worse. They did streams for FF15 where they're like, here's the animations of an alligator that isn't fully modeled.
Yeah.
It was rough, man.
That was pretty insane.
That's when I learned I don't care about transparency in video game development at all. But that's all my news. You can maybe like fish through someone else to find something.
Yeah,
good.
I'm gonna go to Feel. Feel, you got anything cooking?
Sure. There's a new One Piece game coming out. It's by Ilka, the Gen 4 remake devs. But it apparently has an original plot.
It looks so much better than the Gen 4 remake devs.
I know, it really confused me in terms of like visual fidelity.
I assume at least some of it has to be shit that the devs of like what is it called? World Seeker?
Yeah.
Shipped over, maybe? Because there's no shortage of One Piece games. I'm like, okay, like, it seems like a slightly higher rent than usual anime game. Maybe it'll be like a 7, like Kakarot was.
Isn't it actually like a turn-based RPG this time?
I don't know, actually.
The
I don't
trailer
think there was
doesn't make
combat
that
in
too
the...
clear.
Yeah, there wasn't...
It could be,
like,
yeah.
Wasn't...
That'd be neat. I would like
one. I think
like
they said it was some kind of RPG, and there has been a one-piece turn-based RPG before on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Oh, this looks pretty good. And then a character jumps underwater and the animation looks fake as hell. And we're like, oh no.
No, this I can buy as a real game. Yeah, they don't show anything in this video.
Nothing looks unbelievable. Like, what was it? The Seven Deadly Sins Genshin Impact game?
Yes, the Seven Deadly Sins.
So it's like, this is fake as shit, bro.
That shit's unreal.
Yeah.
I am seeing like a lot. Okay, this does look like it could be a turn-based RPG, because there is like there's three characters doing a big combo move lined up like a turn-based RPG.
Yes.
Like they just ripped out the UI.
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
That'd be
so we'll
cool.
See. That would actually make me much more confident in it being good.
Yeah, that would
or
be
at
nice.
Least acceptable.
the last anime RPG we had for that was Fairy Tail, and I prefer we just get literally anything else.
Let's move on.
Okay.
Postal 4 leaves early access on 420.
funny meme number.
They revealed that because all through early access, the postal dude was voiced by John St. John. And then, like, for this release, we're giving you the option to have Rick Hunter, Postal 2 Postal Dude, or Corey Cruz, Postal 3 Postal Dude, be the voice. And, of course, John St. John is also still there. So the end of the trailer is literally the three of them doing the Spider-Man thing and talking to each other.
Oh, God.
Like they're all pointing at each other.
Okay.
Oh, that's really funny.
So was John St. John the Postal 1 guy?
No, John St. John is Duke Nukem.
Yeah, I know. But
he's trying to figure out why John St. John's here.
Oh, no, right. they couldn't get either of the other two for early access voice lines.
What?
So it's like, who do we get? Who do we get? I guess John St. John. Because Corey Cruz and Rick Hunter aren't like game voice actors. They're like people who were local.
Oh, huh.
So, who do other things. So it's like, I guess there was some weird circumstances where like my schedule isn't free or I'm not around or whatever. But I'm really happy about this because I like both Corey Cruz and Rick Hunter's voices.
I can't. This fucking trailer show. 1 second, I'm gonna post the image so that way Casey can...
Okay, I will put this in.
This is the...
Wow.
I'm glad they could have this moment.
Yeah. No, that's
cool van.
I'm really hyped about this because that was like the big thing that was like, oh, well, that's not great because fucking they understand so much more than most devs understand.
Yep.
Child of Light Girl has been added to Bloodstained. Princess Aurora, is that her fucking name?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's there. I honestly kind of would have rather had nothing, but sure, whatever.
Yeah, her model's so bad, her hair is constantly trying to assault her.
It was really funny, where it's like, oh, this looks kind of bad, and then you pause and it's the ugliest thing you've ever seen.
Yeah, that face is clearly not meant to be seen. I don't know.
At least this was only the second worst possible final character.
How so?
It could have been Beck.
Oh, here I thought he was going to say Yikman.
I honestly would have taken Beck.
Beck would have been funny.
Come on.
That would have been funny. People would have loved when I had to stream that game again because Beck was in it.
You know, yeah.
That would have been funny.
It's like, man... what I said on Twitter, which is why I think of if you had some awful deal like this going, don't hype it up for 2 years. So you have another character coming.
Yeah.
Just never mention it and let it be like, oh, finally they did hint at that, huh? Not be like, it's coming. This thing from a game that came out 8 years ago and the company that made the game basically no longer exists.
Yep.
Yeah. This was their own DeCapre moment. It's not great.
Yeah, it was. Nippon Ichi Software Classics Volume 3 was announced, contains La Pucelle Ragnarok, which is the PSP port that we never got localized. It has additional content.
Nice.
And Rhapsody, a musical adventure. I really hope that they port they do another collection with the two sequels to Rhapsody, Nier of Which Were Ever Translated. Like, they're doing this. They might, like, it seems like it's possible.
Did Rhapsody ever get brought over? Because I don't remember that.
It got brought over on the PS1 and on the DS.
Yeah, there we go. Yep. Huh.
Yeah, it totally snuck by me because I found Loflucelle, but I did not find that at all.
I vaguely remember
Rhapsody
people talking.
Rhapsody was a PS1 game, so, and it had, like, a really small run.
Yeah. Because
it was back in the olden times.
Right.
I remember the DS, vaguely.
Our younger listeners, you used to have to find a game in the store to be able to play it. They didn't even have online shopping yet.
Why don't you just use eBay?
It's switching PC only because somebody at that company is deranged.
You'd think that they would have learned their lesson after Disgaea 6 released to negative.
How many times is it gonna take, old man?
God. Yeah.
I can't believe that game's finally coming out.
That's summer, though.
Okay.
More Nisa news. East 8, the Lacrimosa of Donna, is getting a PS5 version.
Cool.
Ooh.
I hope this has all the features that Durante, like, butchered into the PC port when he was fixing it. Because that was like, yeah, it goes up to 300 frames a second now.
Yeah,
I did that.
It better do that.
Yeah.
It has co-op now. I also somehow did that.
I put in co-op into your big hole.
Yeah, I also appreciate that VRR update should hopefully be out.
That'd be did we dream that last week? Is that just like
no? That's
happening?
Real. That's real.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good. So,
and one of the more deranged stories this week. Fragrant Story is a 3DS game shipping in 2022. It is a strategy RPG farming game. It even has a physical version coming out.
What?
If this is some kind of insane marketing gimmick to get attention before you release a real version on actual platforms, someone will play. Touche, because I never would have mentioned this any otherwise. If it isn't, at least we have recorded your terrible, terrible folly.
This has to be an April Fool's joke.
No, this trailer launched. If they dropped it 2 days early, and that's their brilliant scheme. Then sure, I was tricked. I was tricked by you breaking the rules.
Right.
I know time zones are fucked up, but this seems a little early.
This game looks
this isn't
so
Japanese.
Rudimentary. It's real rough.
This is a real game, and they've sold out of almost everything because it's just like because 3DS fans are like, we're insane.
Well, yeah, because then they can flip it later for money.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
Good lord.
Wow, this is dire. One of these games just straight up has edited. One of their games is just straight up a Earthbound ROM hack.
Oof. I mean, their name's Squire Games with a cloud looking, a large JRPG style sword for the eye and an italicized font that makes you think, oh, Square.
Like, that's just Earthbound. How do you not get sued?
Very cool.
This is very obviously we edited assets from Earthbound.
Yeah, no, this is really... Let me also post some additional art for you guys just to make it a little bit more...
Oh my
okay,
god.
At least that one's a free thing. Yeah, it definitely seems like they do this thing where this seems to be their first, like, relatively original game. Some of these things still look like they edited... Final Fantasy, the Fragrant Story thing still looks like they edited Final Fantasy Tactics Advance sprites.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, no.
But their other three projects are like, we edited Chrono Trigger sprites, we edited Final Fantasy VI sprites, we edited Earthbound sprites. So it's like, I wonder, how is somebody not coming for your knees?
Right.
There's nothing about this image I'm about to post that you could recognize as Earthbound-like.
Oh my god.
Not the text bubble, the font, or the background, or the vague proportions of the character designs.
This is... Thank you, Feel.
it feels like a cat that just brought me a dead rat and is like, here you go. Enjoy.
Last piece of news. Pocky and Rocky Reshrine comes out June 24th in the West. I'm really excited for that game.
Hell yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, let's go.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Bob.
What's up?
Do you have better news?
I hope so.
Okay, let's try.
All right. I missed this last week, so I wanted to get it here. Netflix announced a new Tekken anime, Tekken Bloodline. This actually looks pretty cool. It has Ogre. It seems to be a Jin coming of age story.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And it uses that 3D anime style, but it kind of works because it's Tekken.
Yeah, it also kind of looks good.
Right.
Like certain things that do it terribly.
Yeah, no, there have definitely been ones that look way worse than this. And they even use like the Tekken flashes and stuff when fights are happening. It was like, oh, that's cool. Like all the hit stun
Ooh,
stuff.
Ooh, nice.
Like, oh, this could be good.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Arika released their April Fool's joke this year, which for people who haven't followed, EX Layer, fighting EX Layer started as an April Fool's joke.
Yes.
So this could well be real too. It's called
that seems to be like the new trend in Japan, because Yakuza 7 being a turn-based RPG was an April Fool's joke.
Right. This is called Prayer to Death. It's clearly virtual on. Just straight up. The characters look more human than in that, though.
Okay, I need to see this. Prayer to Death. That's not a searchable name.
Just search Arika Prayer to. It's not a two. It's the word T-O.
Oh, okay.
Oh, they in the trailer, they use a two.
Yeah, yeah, apparently
in the YouTube video, they do not.
They Fast and Furious deal. That's fucked up.
Oh, that's what this is? Okay. All right.
This looks way too real to be an April Fool's joke.
This is definitely not an April Fool's joke.
Totally is.
That's a fucking game.
Right.
It's a game that looks awesome as hell. Thank you.
These character designs look good.
Yeah, no, this is really cool. I'm more interested in this than I was fighting EX Layer.
Yeah, fighting EX Layer. Fighting EX Layer really had like, we have Street Fighter at home energy.
It literally had Street Fighter EX3 energy.
Yeah.
And it was cool for that.
We got Gogi.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty high for that, honestly, until it was like, we have a gem system that makes it feel really weird. I don't want to think about.
Yeah.
It was a Street Fighter versus Tekken energy there.
Yeah, it was.
they literally went pre-order to get these special Gogis.
And you're like, hey, Gogi.
Let's see. I've also got Dungeon Fighter Online. Talked about some projects that they've been working on for a long time.
Okay.
They announced Project Barbecue, BBQ, in 2018. So I guess 4 years ago. They've done two trailers for it. It was looking like an action game that maybe have multiplayer elements to it, like use all the characters that franchise is known for. They announced this week they're changing it to Project AK, and it's becoming a Souls-like stylus action RPG.
All right.
So hearing that it's becoming Souls-like, it's pretty depressing, but who knows? Maybe it'll still feel like a decent game. It says it's actual stylus action.
Yeah, who knows what that actually means anymore? Because it's now just like, does it mean you have checkpoints that you can see in the level?
Yeah, I don't know.
They haven't released anything for it.
They have not released anything. Yeah,
They didn't release any more footage or anything?
Nope. They did the trailers back in 2020 for the old version, but we have not seen new trailers. We thought one single piece of artwork. But that's it.
Yeah, okay. Dungeon Fighter Online is the thing DNF Duel's pulling from, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's getting a beta this weekend, which is probably why I didn't put it in here, because I feel like it's going to be up by the time this podcast is out.
Yeah, it's going to be over by the time the podcast is out, so nobody even gets to know about it.
It's funny, they put out patch notes
cool
for every character in a beta where last time there was no training mode. So people are like, this is great, I don't know any of this.
They're like, we fixed this, and you're like, that's a thing?
I'm like, are you sure? I wasn't able to remember moves.
Next thing, Acquire is remastering an old PS2 game I'd never heard of, Kamiwaza Torai. It looks like a Shinobido game, but about stealing stuff. So you're running around as this bandit trying to steal things in these like old Japanese mansions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It also has this branching story path like Shinobido did.
Mm-hmm.
It looks kind of neat. It is being brought over to the West by Nipponichi.
Okay.
So hopefully we get to see how that is. It comes out this fall, which is pretty long delay for a remaster of a PS2 game, but whatever. It's I'm excited.
Everything's hard.
Yes, everything's hard.
We got three people working on this one.
I I want to see more of this like classic Acquire stuff. I hope they poured over Shinobido 1. I hope.
I would like a new Shinobido. That'd
yeah,
be nice.
Yeah, new Shinobido would be great.
That'd be great.
Them getting used to Unreal Engine.
Or a new Samurai Doe.
Yes.
A new wave of the Samurai. That would be nice. Thank you.
No.
Okay.
We're only making RPGs now.
Well, luckily Kamizawa looks interesting, so that'll be something to stave off my extreme rage over not getting a new Shinobido.
Man, why doesn't anyone port Tenchu?
I don't know.
It's like there's just a pile of them.
It's almost like someone is there who owns the rights who doesn't care at all.
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder who that could be. We also got info for Gunvolt 3 this week.
Uh-huh.
They announced a launch date, so it comes out July 28th, only on the Switch because they're crazy.
All right.
I mean, the Switch is definitely the premier platform of people who are like, it's like it's a 2D game, so it's automatically good.
It's automatically grandfathered in as an 8.
Yeah,
like retro gaming Jim is like clapping like a seal at it being Switch only. Somehow that makes it better.
God, I mean, they even released the last game in this franchise, Luminous Avenger, on PlayStation at launch. Early, like number 2, released in January.
No, Nintendo wanted this one bad.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
They also talked about their new Story Mode Plus.
What?
Which is, there will be constant talking during this game. The characters
God,
will never stop.
They're doing the Mighty Number 9 thing again.
Yes.
God damn it.
Oh, no.
There's no way Inafune isn't directly involved.
Oh, yeah. The trailer for this feel is Inafune giving
I'm
introduction.
God, these games look like such shit. Who thinks these fucking dog shit mechanics where you fucking homing attack across the entire screen repeatedly is good?
Dan, you need
Macombo, my speedrun game. Fuck you.
Dan, makes you need
any normal human being one.
You need to stop punching Inafune. I'm like, yeah, I stopped for 1 second. He popped up out of the ground and saw his shadow.
He saw his shadow. Gunvolt gets 5 more games for the next 2 years.
God, it's so weird. He just looks identical to how last time I saw him, but now his hair is grayer. It's like, yes. I thought you would change at all. No.
He's like, as you slide up a Japanese old man stereotype for anime, he's just yes. sliding it slowly to the right. Very, very slowly.
His hair is gray. Like, that means he's 30 years old.
Yes.
Even from these trailers, it's just like, here's a totally flat level with a shitload of enemies for you to blitz through with your speedrun ability.
Yeah.
It's like, why is this the series identity?
I don't know. They also talked a bunch about the Japanese voice actors. Who knows if it's going to be dubbed in English. Hopefully it is. Otherwise, oh my God, this will be super unplayable.
I can handle like a Warriors game because I can read fast and there's like always running in a Warriors game. Like you're running to destination. But this is a fucking game where you're executing.
Yeah, constantly
like,
in action.
Like you're...
I'm not going to go down to read subs during a
boss fight.
Yeah, during a boss fight or some action sequence that is going to command any level of mastery of the video game.
At least the game seems to be running at 60 frames per second now.
Right? It's not like one. And apparently the whole idea with this game, which I don't think they talked about before, is you switch between the brand new character Kirin, who has the sword, and Gunvolt. Like, they can swap back and forth on the fly.
Okay.
Yeah, this feels sad. It looks kind of like just a mess of auto-targeting and dashing everywhere.
Yeah, that's literally all I've been watching the whole time you said that.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Her not even touching the ground, targeting 3 enemies with the sword attack, doing a wishy sword attack, hitting them all, and they're just chaining that forever.
Like I don't know if it's somebody at Inti Creates or Inafune himself. I'm assuming Inafune, because Inti Creates does release games that aren't like this, like the Bloodstained games and... the Blaster Master games are not like this, where it's just like, no, a good game is this weird score attack thing. That's a good 2D platformer. That's nothing like anything I ever made before Oz or Gunvolt.
Yeah, it's so weird, because the
like,
actual...
even Mighty No. 9 is that.
Yeah.
Right. The actual director of the game is the guy who did the first Bloodstained 2D game that they made. So it's really weird that this is so bizarre.
Yeah.
The way Gunvolt games look... is kind of like what my brain thought Musou games were for years, where it's just this vapid, you're just clearing the screen of enemies and there's no depth at all. Because that's the general sentiment I saw around with stuff. And now I'm just seeing that in this now, where I'm like, what do you do? I don't understand it whenever I look at it.
This is actually when I was going to give them another shot. And then they're like, story mode plus. Also, look at this gameplay.
Also, Keiji Inafune is staring at you right now.
Yes. So I'm not sure anymore. Maybe I'll try Luminous Avenger 2 instead.
Oh, man.
Jesus. In the other big news of the week.
Oh, my God. No, Dan, what's the problem? What's the problem?
I don't need to see him that close.
No,
emote,
what do you do?
Emote.
Bobby, you were saying something?
E3 is dead. It's officially canceled. They're not doing a digital event. They're not doing a physical event.
Wow, I can't believe E3 got canceled. What did it say?
They let Mel Helsinger on the stage.
Oh, no.
You see, what happened is it's been 3 years since then, but people remembered that E3 doxed everyone who went in 2019.
That is pretty fucking toxic.
It is real bad.
Because as soon as this got canceled, every games media person I followed said, it's kind of weird how no one's really thought about this since then.
I mean, we keep bringing it up, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not at large for sure.
Well, we're the only people in games media that have a memory that goes past a month, so.
It's really tragic like that.
So, yeah, they didn't actually announce a digital event before, so this is really them just announcing they won't be announcing one.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley came out minutes later, like 20 minutes later, to be like, hey, we're doing the Summer Game Fest, and we're going to have a June kickoff live show. So in June they're going to have some big live show presentation, which hopefully will be good. I want to believe, since there's no E3 now, maybe everyone's going to like go and use this.
Yeah, there's less room now. There's like less other options people could go for.
And yeah, I don't. Like, ESA clearly had no idea what they were doing with E3. They wanted to turn it into this event that was all random streamers they brought in.
And celebrities.
And it was like, that's clearly not the right direction. So hopefully they come back at some point and sober up. But clearly they were heading in a bad way. It's hard to even feel bad about this.
Oh, yeah. No, 100% I don't feel bad about it. I feel like there were some reports today that were like, they can't do anything. They cannot create anything engaging for an event that would be happening like in a couple of months or 3 months from now or whatever. So they're going to try and do one next year, both digital and as a physical event. And I'm like, good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully the world is better by then. Who knows, though?
I don't think E3 will be better by
no,
then.
No, it won't be.
No, it's had a rough go.
I've heard some really weird things or comments about the Summer Game Fest, because we hate on it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people be like, no, don't get behind that. That's just a big ad, unlike E3. It's like,
what?
Is there holes in your brain?
We ragged on it, but it's because We're the indie team show that's 3 hours and has four games. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I think they're just doing it because it's the Dorito Pope, right? These yes. people are brain dead. That happens all the time.
That was what, Halo 3? That was fucking 15 years ago, motherfucker.
Nobody saw that. They just heard about it and then saw the one screenshot. And then people have just been running with it's like he's the Dorito guy.
Like that was ridiculous.
Ignore that he worked for E3 before they split up.
That was ridiculous, but like,
I don't know.
Jeff, he so obviously worked very hard to overturn that impression.
Right. And there's still people out there like, nah, nothing's changed.
I'm like, what do you
Well, my brain is permanently locked into when I'm 14. it will never advance.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Why don't they make children's cartoons for me, a 45-year-old man?
Oh, no.
Like, I didn't enjoy the entire summer set of things I had to watch on these years. But the Summer Games Fest stuff wasn't the worst, except for that one Gamescom motion comic thing for WoW. but it was every other event that decided that it also needed to happen around now. Like, here's this indie one and this indie one. And also, IGN's going to do their own thing, and that was the worst. Where I felt like I was sinking.
Yeah, I don't think IGN announced they're doing their own thing yet, and that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, the Jeff stuff, like, will teeter between, this was like a 4 or 5, too. Some of this was like a 7 or an 8. Like, you got some good picks here.
I remember there were a couple that were just absolutely flatlined during 2020.
Yeah.
Like, there were some things where he hyped it up, and then right beforehand, he sort of implied what it was, and I'm like, I got up for this.
Yeah, he kind of like he spread himself way too thin on that first year,
mm-hmm.
where it was like keep tuning in, but he has since now clearly sobered up when he's like, we're doing a big kickoff show with world premieres. I'm like, that's what people want, all right?
Yeah, that's what E3 was.
Yeah, right. They want big shows and not like really weak small shows.
God. Well, that's great. Stay dead, E3. I'm just kidding. I need you to be the lightning rod. So that way we don't have 12 million different bad shows.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah, people are like, well, you know, it all being in 1 week doesn't make the shows better. It massively limits how much airtime they have. Yeah.
Right?
I'm like, I need you to sit down and watch them all.
Yeah, before you comment, how about you fucking watch them all?
You watch them all. We watched the PC game show when E3 was running. You didn't do that ever.
Yeah. And that was better than almost every show in the Summer of Games.
Oh. Yeah, they didn't show me the exact same game over and over and over again.
Sponsored by Metal Hellsinger. Here it is again.
Go away, Troy.
It still isn't out.
Yeah, God.
I saw another game that was doing the same thing Metal Hellsinger was doing this week, and I screamed.
Yeah.
Like some rhythm shooter game that immediately looked both visually better and mechanically better.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I don't know the name of it.
It's a problem.
But someone has already gotten the ideas.
Well, that's going to do it for news. In the next week, Bob and I will successfully end God of War month.
Woo.
Maybe take it a little bit easy.
Cool.
We've been streaming a lot.
Yeah.
We've been doing a lot of stuff. So no formal announcements. Nothing to talk about. KZ?
I'm going to stream a variety of things. Really excited. They're going to put new cards in Yu-Gi-Oh! Master Duel. Some of the ones where I thought they were in the game at launch, and then they weren't, and I was sad. And this is apparently the moment that they will be in the game. So I will be excited. Aside from that, just figuring out some random stuff to stream. I'll figure something out. But gonna take it pretty relaxed.
Okay. Feel?
I'm building a house with my bare hands.
Oh no.
You know, I feel less good about how ambitious we've been with streams, Bob. We're gonna have to do 3 times as many streams a week.
Oh,
Go ahead.
It's a lot.
But you already do 2 a week. That means
actually,
the only day you're not streaming is the day you record these podcasts.
Actually, last week, that literally was. We streamed 6 days out of 7.
Yeah.
And most of them were 9 or more hours.
Please stay tuned for Big Think Live.
Uh-huh. Please stay tuned for me streaming 27 hours in a day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Big Think Dimension. If you would like to support us, head on over to www.patreon.com/GBpodcasts, where you can get extra podcasts and early access to our anime podcast, Chugging Bleach and Mondo Cool. Head on over there and become a $5 backer or podlord today.